Now, this is the most important raft. It comes down to making out. Whenever possible, put on side one of...
Rock All Over You podcast! Let's rock! Eric and Edwin. Edwin and Eric, they don't give a fuck. They just want you to rock. Yeah. Bam, 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 dilly dee. Bam, bam, bam!
Moving on to 10, Edwin, you'll take this one. This is the second entry from their debut, Breaking the Chains, the title track, Breaking the Chains.
Awesome fucking song, obviously. I think this is definitely one of the top two songs that I think most people would like from Breaking the Chains. Maybe we'll talk about the other one, who knows? But yeah, this would always be on like greatest hits compilations. They do it live. George Lynch even still does it live. When I saw him, he did it. It was a highlight. One of the best songs he did live. Sounded great. It's an amazing song. It's a perfect song. It's one of the songs on Breaking the Chains that foreshadows how good they're gonna get. And you know, you have all the elements. It's like primarily a Don song, but George brings a lot to the song with his riffage, you know, some of his best riffage. The opening riff itself and the way it just kicks in, then it's just like so fun. You can't, like, you just bob your head thinking about it. It's like just such a catchy fucking awesome riff. And like this whole passion play, this dramatic passion play that Don's playing, you know, it's like a fucking soap opera to this fucking head bobbing riff. And it's great. Now, this is a video that is cheesy as hell, and it's bad. And it's one of the reasons why Doc and could not compete with Frat and Motley Crue in that regard, or Death for videos. But kind of like Eric says, now, this, unlike the Fire Engine video, which I'm not really a fan of, this is a video that is so bad, I do love it. It's just really funny, especially that chick.
Oh, God.
Who's, like, very meme-worthy. It's just a really funny video. And I do love it. It has a dopey charm to it that I really like. But, man, such a catchy song. This has a little bit of a European sound, like the whole first album. But it's like it's got like a catchy pop metal verse and then goes into like full-fledged power pop in the chorus. And man, the solo, some of George Lynch's best guitar work. It's an amazing song. I think it's one of their greatest songs. And yeah, I think of this song very highly. I think it's another song that makes Dokken a real class act and on another level, because they could put together a song this great even out of the gate when they weren't even really a band yet, you know, and they got Breaking the Fucking Chains. I love this song.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And I actually had this a little higher than you had at 8. I had it number 6. I actually heard this song before. The first album I bought from Dokken was Tooth and Nail. But I had actually heard this a couple times before I bought Tooth and Nail. And it was almost like one of those things where I had heard Breaking the Chains a couple times and both heard it. I mean, the first time I heard it, I was like, wow, that's a really like kind of catchy hard rock song. But it wasn't enough that I was going to go out and buy the album, especially because, I mean, at that age, I mean, I just like, I had so little, I didn't drive. I didn't, you know, I'm a little kid. You had to kind of pick and choose which albums you were going to get. But, it was kind of in the back of my mind, and then I saw the videos from Tooth and Nail, and I was like, all right, I really like this band. I got to go out and get them. But this song was kind of ahead of its time. I mean, it's 81, and yeah, it already sounds like fully realized Dokken, which is really weird. I mean, it was like the one time that, like, Don maybe just fluky found, like, that you know, element that would make them great. 2 years earlier, you couldn't replicate it a lot at that time. But it's just so great, and it's kind of a hard ahead of its time, and it's so melodic and so cool, and that riff is so great, and the guitar sounds so good on it. That perfect mix of metal and melodic, and that's what I love about Dokken. But again, I just, it's just so, and that fucking riff. I mean, it right, so simple, but it's so great, and the feel of it. I mean, that's the difference between a great guitarist and your average guitarist. They can make a simple riff, but the feel in it, and so the vibrato in it, or whatever. But like, god damn, that riff is so cool. And they, there's one thing I noticed, especially with early Lynch. Is he plays his solos a lot like Neil Sean did in kind of the classic Journey stuff. And this song in particular, listen to the listen to the solo on the song. It's a very Neil Sean type, like, sounding solo. And I mean that in the best way. Like,
I can hear that. Well, we love Journey.
Criminally underrated guitarist, and like feel he plays with on those like mid-70s, late-70s Journey albums are fucking amazing. And I know they were kind of almost contemporaries. That's the one thing. Like, George Lynch is an old guy. Like, he was around in the mid-70s. He was a part of the L.A. scene in the mid-70s. He just didn't find his thing until Dokken.
Yeah.
He was coming up with Eddie. He was, like, you know, neck and neck with Eddie, like, a, like the players in that area. I mean, he was a couple years younger than Eddie, but not much. Love the song. It was the one song from Breaking the Chains that, like, to me was like it was already Dokken before they knew they were Dokken. Absolutely love it. What do you think about it, Eric?
Oh man, I mean, it's a great fucking song. It's super catchy, but god damn, that video is cheesy as fuck. I'd rather have Firefighter Don Dokken, you know. God, that video is, even as a kid, I'm like, man, this video is fucking stupid, you know. Oh, and that fucking girl, too. It's like, you know, the thing was, like, Motley Crue and Rat had, like, some hot chicks in their videos. But that chick kind of looks kind of homely, you know? And she, and later they found out, like, it was like, Dokken didn't even have a choice with that video. That girl was added in last minute. It was, like, the director's girlfriend who probably threw a bitch fit. It was like, I want to be in this fucking video, or I'm getting a divorce. And they're like, oh, god, okay, sure, you can be in the video.
Hey, listen, to be fair, she's not homely. She's just like kind of an average-looking woman. But we're not used to
writing these songs about.
She's not that great-looking, man.
You don't want average-looking women in a rock video in the 80s.
Yeah, you gotta be hot as fuck to be in a rock video.
Yeah, she needs to lay it down, chick, by a long shot.
Yeah, well, it's a cool video, man. It's I think it's like about Don, like his girlfriend breaks up with him this time, but he's gonna try and win her back and then dump her in like a shitty way. So he knows how she feels. But yeah, man, what a great song. But god damn, what a cheesy video. And even Dokken too. They didn't even look that great in that video. They look like they still haven't got, like, they're still growing their hair out and shit. You know, Don or what's his name? George Lynch has that fucking stupid ass two-tone hair. He looks like the guy from Kaja Goo Goo. It's like, damn, what a cheesy-ass video. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's so much proof that they just really didn't know what they wanted to be yet. And just, I love the little shots they have with the guitar strings that change.
Oh, my god, that's so stupid. It's like, that's too cheesy. That's like where it's like, okay, you guys are going too far now with this shit.
Great. So great. All right, Johnny, Breaking the Chains.
Here's a little deja vu. Remember that time I talked about Hear About It Later?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
So, it made my list, as did all the songs we're going to talk about.
By the way, let me, as you say that, every one of these lists, we have what we have called, like, for the Van Halen list, Edwin was the Van Halen whisperer, because every song that ended up on that top 25, he had in his Van Halen top 50. On this one, we only made everybody do a top 25, and all 20 that we ended up with on the final list, Johnny had on his top 25. So Johnny is the Dokken whisperer. So go ahead, Johnny.
And I'm in the minority here. I mean, I like the song Breaking the Chains. It made my list late 20s, crept into the list, but I'm not a huge fan. I don't like the chorus.
Wow.
I think it's weak.
Really?
Yeah. Breaking the Chains. Yeah, I'm not a fan. By the way, I'll also announce I've switched to double IPAs at this point in time.
Did you have a thing against wistful choruses being thrown in the middle of like street rock songs? Is that
I don't know. Maybe there's something there, but I like the song. Probably my third song from the album, third or fourth favorite from the album, Breaking the Chains. But like, I'm not as high on it as everyone else. And the video, yes, video's terrible. I hope this girl isn't the reason Don is so miserable.
Deserves yeah, because she's not even that good looking either.
No,
like, God, get over her, man. Come on.
I hope you're right. It's just some director's broad that gets thrown in there. Yeah. I hope it's not like Bobby Brown or somebody, you know, that's breaking hearts of rock stars, because the chick's not.
I'm kind of pissed at Bobby Brown for telling that shit about Janie Lane. Like, he at least let that man take that shit to his grave.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he did not want the world to know that.
No, you're right about that.
Yeah, it's like, God, let the man take that to his grave, so he doesn't have, like, he obviously didn't want people to know. God damn it. Also, for a record, I think it was Paul Stanley.
I hope that it was, honestly. I just hope so. And I hope it comes out. I hope that it was, and I hope that it comes out, and I hope that Tim Bream and Bill Wang can just do something magical with that.
Yeah, for real.
But yeah, that's my take on Breaking the Chains. Good song. Not as high on it as everybody else, but
somebody's got to be the bad guy once in a while.
I guess this time it's me.
All right, we move on to number 9, and I will start this one. Just Got Lucky, one of the singles from Tooth and Nail, the fourth entry from Tooth and Nail, and I have this at number 2. This was actually, I'm pretty sure, the first video I saw from the Tooth and Nail, and it wasn't that like it was getting played a ton, but it was on enough, and it was like the song that made me say, okay, I've heard enough from this band to buy the album. So there's a reason it's that high. But I still, to this day, love this song. And have to go back to the same stuff we've talked about. Guitar tone. Werman produced both albums, but there's so much similarities to the way the guitars were recorded on Shout of the Devil and this. And there's a very similar kind of quality to the, you know, just the tone of the guitars. And I just love it. And again, it's part of just like, you know, nothing replaces those earliest vivid music memories when you're a kid, like when you fall in love with music, and like this is part of it. And this song, a big, you know, perfect mix for me at that time where I'm making that transition to metal, where it has that pop element to it, but it's a metal song. And again, this is another one, very Neil Shawnee. The
God, I was about to say that.
That is so Neil Sean. I mean, that is so Neil Sean. And, you know, it's funny. I don't know if I really, really realized that until very recently, like listening to Dokken. It's been there all along, but I don't know if I never, ever really noticed it as much as I've noticed it pretty recently. And then just last thing I'll say about the song, I love the end of the song. Don's last note, and we're just like the echoing out, like lucky.
Oh, I love that part.
love that. A great mix of power and metal. I mean, pop and metal. What made Dokken so great? That's why I had it that high. It's just a perfect mix. And we talked a lot again about going from power chords to that picking like more melodic stuff during, and he does it differently. Sometimes he puts that melodic shit behind a chorus, sometimes he puts it behind the verse, but like that constant contrast back and forth was such a kind of key of what made that early Dokken shit and all their stuff, but particularly on this album, man, so great, and made me fall in love with this band. Edwin, what do you think about Just Got Lucky?
Amazing song. This should have been like the big hit from this album. Now, I don't, obviously, Under Lock and Key was supposed to be the album that would make them as big as Def Leppard and Motley Crue, and didn't. But this definitely should have set them up to kind of get ready for it. Like, this should have been, Tooth and Nail should have been like High and Dry to Under Lock and Key's Pyromania from a commercial standpoint. And obviously, you saw it a few times on MTV. You know, I didn't see this video until I got the Unchained the Night VHS. I had a VHS. Hell yeah, me too. And I loved it. It was great. But the video is all right. I don't mind it myself. You know, I like some corny 80s videos. But I do think this is a case where the video hurt it. It needed a better video because this song had the goods, man. It was catchy as hell. Perfect pop metal song. I think there wasn't enough hot women in Dokken videos.
There really wasn't.
And this is a song, like, if you listen to the lyrics, it's about this sexy demon woman that's breaking his heart again. There should have been a video of some hot chick. You know?
And we've been talking about the reason why. You probably just hit the nail on the head.
Not enough hot chicks. And on their album covers. More on that later when we talk about Under Lock and Key again. But anyway, because I got a whole list of reasons why I think Under Lock and Key didn't do as big as it should have. But anyway, but the song's perfect. It's a perfect pop metal song. Pilsen actually wrote this one. And
Pilsen's genius.
Yeah, shows that it's not just Don that's come out poppy shit, because this is very poppy. But George also brings that great melody. And I agree with Neil Schon. It does sound a lot like his stuff, especially like the production even sounds. I know the way the guitars sound, it has a similar tone to Departure, in my opinion. The sound, the guitar work on Journey's Departure. Absolutely. But amazing. But it also makes me think of something. I know a song that Johnny and me both like, Baker Street. Something about that melody. You hear what I'm talking about?
Oh, my God, yeah.
If you hear George's guitar melody, to me that sounds like... Yeah, it sounds like the saxophone line of Baker Street, which I fucking love.
I love that song.
Yeah, it's a great, righteous melody. It's just a beautiful guitar melody. Like, this song is like ear candy even before you get to the vocals, you know? It's just, again, why Dokken was a class act. This is a perfect pop metal song, and I remember my brother playing this song a lot. I mean, like I said, he played both Tooth and Nail and Under Lock and Key quite a bit, and this was a song, like, when I was a kid, this was one of the songs that I assumed was, like, a hit song, you know, because my brother played it so much, and it wasn't until, like, I was a teenager in the 90s, and you'd listen to classic rock radio. It's like, well, why don't they ever play Just Got Lucky? It's like, it seems funny now. It's like, yeah, it wasn't that big of a hit, but...
Again, it got decent MTV play, no radio play.
I know. But in my household, I thought this was a big song.
And one thing I meant to mention, that Lynch Pill, this is a great example of the Lynch Pilsen songwriting team. Those two guys wrote a lot of people don't know this. I mean, some of the best Dokken songs, Don had nothing to do with the writing of them. Lynch and Pilsen wrote a lot of my favorite Dokken songs that Don didn't write at all. And this is one.
Although I will say one thing. It does sound like there's some influence from even going back Breaking the Chains. Because even though this is Jeff Pilsen and George Lynch, it sounds like the model, in a way, was Breaking the Chains, like, even thematically. Like, he's writing a song, which is why fits Don's vocals perfectly. It's this mopey woman breaking my heart. So I feel like he created a framework. And then Jeff and George, being the talented guys they are, could take that framework and then even make it better. Like, write better versions within that framework that Don created.
Yeah, I think Pilsen specifically wrote songs.
For Don.
Don can kill this.
Yeah, like, this is the kind of song that Don likes to sing. And these are the kind of things he likes to sing about.
And this song is as good an example as any. I mean, it is right in Don's power alley, and Don is great on this song, but Pilsen wrote it. And I mean, Lynch wrote the riff, but Pilsen wrote the lyrics and, you know, the melodies. But yeah, just an amazing song. Were you done with it, Edwin?
Yeah, I'm all done.
All right, Johnny, what do you think about that?
I know I had it mid-teens on my list, and I think it's a great song. And the ability to go from a Without Warning, Tooth and Nail, to a Just Got Lucky, I mean, what a diversity you've got as a band to be able to go back-to-back with songs like that. I mean, and some of the things that I hear when I listen to Just Got Lucky, I mean, I hear a little of Summer 69 in the riff. And I hear, as far as the Journey goes, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Stone and Love with the riff and the way Don delivers the verses. It's just a tremendous song. And for me, it's always been one of those classic. Anytime I'm making a summer playlist, this song's on it. I think, and it's one of those songs, like you guys have already touched on it, how could this not have been a crossover hit? I mean, the riff is such ear candy. Such ear candy, and you know, the chorus is great. The whole song is like really just metal pop, you know, that metal pop blend perfection. I love the song. Probably could have been a little bit higher. A lot of these songs, you know, in your mid-teens early, I could flip-flop them around, but I love this song. I think it's great, and I think you can definitely hear, like, especially on Tooth and Nail and Breaking the Chains, still the 70s influence on Don and George and the way they're writing songs. And Jen Pilson, of course, too, like that 70s influence, you know, that they haven't fully transitioned into what the 80s is going to become. But, man, this is a great tune, catchy tune.
All right, Eric, yeah. You finish it up for Just Got Lucky.
Man, Just Got Lucky. It's just like, it's a killer pop metal song. I fucking love it. And it's just, I love too, there's the myth about, there's the story about the volcano, because obviously George is on that mountain or volcano or whatever, doing his guitar solo for the video, and apparently the volcano like pretty much was getting ready to erupt, and he got out of there on a helicopter just in time for that fucking thing exploded. I don't know how true that story is, but I mean, I always thought that was a pretty cool story to go with the video, but yeah, man, Just Got Lucky. It's a killer fucking tune, man. Just so catchy and so amazing. And it's funny, like, all the songs you guys compared it to, and I'm like, yeah, it does sound a lot like those songs, especially the whole, Baker Street comparison Edwin made. I never fucking realized that until just now. And this is a song that, when they did that acoustic concert video, this one where Jeff Pilson sang it on that video, and Jeff Pilson fucking just killed it, man. I mean, he sang it, like, fucking perfectly. It was amazing. But, yeah, Just Got Lucky, man. It's fucking cool ass fucking song. I love it. There's nothing else I can really add that you guys haven't already added to it.
All right. And then we will move on to number 8. And Eric, you can keep on talking for this one. It is our third entry from Under Lock and Key, and is the opening track from Under Lock and Key, Unchain the Night.
God damn, Unchain the Night, man. It's just such a cool, dark, moody fucking song. I mean, Dokken just kills it with these moody fucking songs, man. I love Unchain the Night, man. It kind of gives me a vibe of, like, you know, like Tonight You Belong to Me by Paul Stanley. Like, lyrically, it has that same kind of vibe. Like that, you know, just that girl leaving you, and you're like, no, don't fucking leave, whatever, you know, begging to, you know, don't give up on this. And it's just such a cool, dark fucking song. I love the beginning with, like, the chimes and whatnot, almost kind of like a Hell's Bells kind of opening in a way. It's just such a kick-ass fucking song. The live version's even better with some of those backing vocals with Jeff and Don. It just fucking kills, man. And I remember one Thanksgiving, I think it was my senior year Thanksgiving, we went to, me and my parents went to North Carolina because my aunt and uncle had just moved there. And we went there to visit. Obviously, my parents live in North Carolina now. They end up moving there, but we went there for Thanksgiving, so I had Thanksgiving break, I had a whole week off, and I remember going there, and I remember being in the basement, man, and my had brought my guitar with, and my uncle, who loves a lot of great 80s hair metal music, I love my Uncle Dan, shout out to him, he might listen to this, he was teaching me a bunch of songs, and this is one of the songs he taught me, was like Unchain the Night by Dokken, and I remember me and him, like, jamming to this and, like, you know, him just talking about Dokken, talking about George Lynch and doing some cool shit on guitar, trying to teach me some stuff on guitar. And that was just a cool memory, man. That was a fun Thanksgiving and just hanging out with my uncle, just talking metal and, him teaching me some stuff on the guitar, man. It was fucking cool, man. So I love Unchained Night. Great fucking opening track. I think it's a great way for them to open their shows, and I love the Beast from the East version. I think it's even better than the studio version. So, great song, and I'm going to take a bathroom break as the next person takes this one.
All right, Johnny, you had a really high too. Eric, we're starting to get into the top 10 here, so you're getting
Johnny's going to town.
What the hell was
that's
that?
Me hitting, I'm hitting my at my dining room table, I've got one of those a drink tray. I'm hitting it with a shot glass. But anyway, just all I know is never unchain the knight. I don't know what the fuck that means, but it's a, but seriously, it's a great song. Love the song. What a great opener for a great album. I mean, I think it's killer. It's everything that I love about a Dokken song, with the vocal imagery and George's playing. I think I had it 7, very, very high for me.
Yeah, you had it 7, Eric had it 4. Like I said, you know, we're in the top 10 now, so we're getting into that territory where all 4 of us have it in our top 25, and in a lot of cases, all 4 of us have it pretty high.
Yeah, it's a great song, and it's a great opener, and I wouldn't change the sequence of Under Lock and Key at all. I think it's a great record, and this is a great way to start that album. Everything about it's great. Vocal delivery, lyrics, George is playing unbelievable. Great track. You guys pretty much touched on the rest of it, but it's awesome.
Edwin, go ahead.
All right. I got a lot to say now. Okay, this is one of the songs I wanted to talk about because, I mean, everything that Eric and Johnny said about the song itself is spot on, and it is a great album opening. I will go further to say that I think it should have been the lead-off single, and it wasn't even a single, for a couple reasons. Now, I get the plan, the strategic plan that, yeah, you don't lead with the poppiest song that's going to be your big hit. That should be the second video by mid-80s MTV strategic standard, like playbooks. Yeah, it makes sense. In My Dreams, save that for the second one. That made sense. I agree with that decision, Elektra Records. All right. but your first song, okay, I love The Hunter. Maybe we'll talk about it later. Who knows? Too mid-tempo and too subtle, I think, for a announcing this big fucking album. Like, that's the thing. Is this should be a first single in video that says, hey, we're docking, and we're going to be a big deal on fucking MTV and on the radio, and this is our big breakthrough album, and we're making a statement. All right? You got to make a statement.
1,000%. 1,000% on that. Absolutely.
Yes. The Hunter does not do that. It does not come in and make a statement. Awesome fucking song. We'll talk about it later. Maybe. We'll see. but right now, I mean, I actually maybe prefer the Hunter personally to this song. But looking at it objectively, listening to these songs and thinking about MTV in 1986, you drop your first song. There has to be a pageantry to it. It has to make a statement. This song, with its opening, that kind of foreshadows, it's both a little like Dream Warriors even, but with the synth, it creates mood, it creates atmosphere. Something big's going to happen. And then it kicks into the
fire verses from Don. Yeah, and
verses in the wishing well, those great lines, and then that chorus, the fucking Unchain the Night. It's a big, bold chorus. It's both metal, get the headbangers into it, but it's poppy enough to have a little bit of crossover to kind of set up what will be their big pop hit. And picture a big, slick video that like actually had like a storyline where there's like a sexy hooker that's being stalked by a guy.
Yeah,
the verses, and then it cuts to the band playing like the whiskey in the during the chorus.
Oh yeah,
and then you jump back and forth, and you know that's something that's gonna make a fucking statement in 1986. You know,
yeah,
and that's something that could then really set up In My Dreams to go to the next level as the second single, in my opinion. And to me, it's like really obvious that Unchained the Night should have been the lead off single. They should have had a big, slick storyline fucking video. They should have went for it. They should have went for and been like, yeah, this is Dokken. We're a big fucking deal. But instead, they released this really awesome but subtle mid-tempo song that doesn't feel like a way to announce big time. Unchained the Night. This is why it opened an album. It's why they opened concerts with the song. Because
It set the fucking tone.
It sets the tone. So for the same reason, it should have been the lead off single on video.
I feel like in this time, it's rare for an opening track to not be a single.
Yeah, it's also think about a year later, still of the night, Whitesnake.
Yeah, dude. This is almost very Judas Priest-esque song. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
It's very Judas Priest sounding.
It has a touch of Dio too, I think, especially in the verses and the lyrics. Yeah. But it's an amazing song. It didn't even break my. I think it's in my teens somewhere. I forget exactly where I had it, but I love the song. It's great. But to me, especially when I was listening to Under Lock and Key this week, to me it was like really clear. Like that was the big ball they dropped by. Leading with the Hunter instead of Unchained the Night. Like, this should have announced Dawkins big time. It sounds like Johnny and Eric got my back on this. What do you think, Ron?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had it right around where you had it, Edmund. You had it at 19, I had it at 18. I love the song. Again, great song live, too. A couple things, I mean, you guys said pretty much everything you could say about the song. One thing, and I can't give myself credit for catching this, and it's going to be one of those things where I'm going to be interested to hear what your guys' feedback or anybody else that's, you know, big metalheads out there feedback on this would be. But my buddy caught this and said it, and I went and listened to it, and I was like, holy shit, how have I never noticed this over like years of knowing these two songs? But the end of Wheels of Confusion, Sabbath, there's an instrumental section that actually has like a title. It's called The Straightener. It's not on all the versions of Volume 4, but some of them will actually list it as The Straightener. It's like, comes in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. It does sound like the intro of this song.
It's the exact, the chord progression is the exact same thing as the little intro to Unchained the Night. And like, I had never noticed that before, and my buddy just randomly texted me this. This is like 4 or 5 years ago. He's like, dude, Straightener, end of it, of Wheels of Confusion, Unchained the Night intro, same thing. And I went and I'm like searching on my phone, and I'm like, oh my god, like how have I never noticed that before? They're like unbelievably similar. But it's like one of those cases where it's a ripoff, but I love the ripoff because there's like a little bit of, and I don't even know if he did it. Who knows if he even did it intentionally, but I love it. Even if it's just like a little kiss to Sabbath, great. I'm fine with it. It's a very short section of the song anyway. And honestly, it's like one of those Eddie Van Halen like little intros where that little part of the song doesn't have a ton to do with the song. And actually, I guess that part does come back in it a little in the middle. But yeah, I love this song. It's very Dokken, very unique Dokken, but it has like, yeah, definitely like, you know, little hints of that British metal, which I love. Great song. I mean,
oh yeah.
All right, well, let's move on. Number 7. We're getting up there, guys. We're close to the top 5 here. All right, we were joking about this going back and forth after I sent everybody the list, but this is one that could have been a lot higher. And I'm actually Edwin will lead it up. This is Edwin's number 1, but we won't say who yet. But somebody amongst us here harpooned a song that could have been top 1, 2, 3, but didn't have it in the top 25. The rest of us had it all in the top 5. Edwin had it at number 1, Into the Fire.
Yes. And me and Eric will be exchanging words in a little bit.
The suspense.
Come on. Let's just say it's Eric. Eric fucked this up. Come on. It's the top 5 fucking song, obviously. Hey,
it's a great song.
You're denying science. You're a science denier. Okay. Fucking Into the Fire. Okay, my favorite Dokken song of all time, obviously. But listen, that's fine. It doesn't have to be everyone's favorite Dokken song. But it should be in your fucking top 5.
There's so many other good songs that I like better.
Into the Fire! You say you love Dream Warriors. Fucking, yeah. Still Dream Warriors. It opens the fucking movie. it's a perfect Dokken song. It has all the qualities that we've been already talking a lot about. It's ear candy, it's melodic, it's got a mystical quality. I love the sound of the acoustic guitar, which, correct me if I'm wrong, it's Jeff Pilson playing, I think.
That's awesome.
I'm pretty sure he's doing the acoustic guitar on this. Of course, George is doing all the electric work. And it's a magical song. That's all I can say. Like, God, as soon as it hits, the first dan, 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 as soon as the guitar chords hit, it's like I'm enraptured. And then when it goes into the acoustic part, it's like, oh, the rat, you know, I'm like further enraptured. And it just keeps getting deep. And I like when synthesizer is used a little bit in early 80s metal, if you know what I mean. Like, it's not overdone, it's just a little bit here and there to give a little atmosphere.
Dude, yep. Let me just break in real quick. You know what it feels like to me there and why I love it? It feels like fucking Diary of a Madman Ozzy. I mean, I love the organ on Diary of a Madman and Blizzard.
But, yeah, you would get that in a little bit of like Van Halen in the early 80s before they overdid it. A
little bit in the background, but oh, it adds to the song. It's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, a little Dio, a little Def Leppard. During this period, you would get a little bit a synthesizer, but not overdone, and it just adds something. Yeah, it adds this cinematic quality. This video is a little cheesy, but I like it. It's fun. It's kind of a typical 80s apocalyptic kind of video that you saw a lot of that stuff, kind of post-Mad Max, Escape from New York kind of thing going on, like Lick It Up. I like this better than Lick It Up. But anyway, both the song and the video. But anyway, but I like it, and then, you know, I like the weird, sexy, witchy, futuristic chick that's in that tunnel thing in the video. That's like, you know, she was hotter than the Breaking the Chick.
I think that same girl was in one of the Def Leppard videos.
Yeah, she was attractive. But anyway, it's a cool video. It's got atmosphere. I love everything about it. I think it's probably my favorite production on any Dokken song. I love the way it sounds. Lynch's guitar works great. You know, Don sings with his majesty. This, you know, this is another one where, again, he brings in a little of that Jim Morrison vibe, I think, a little bit. Even like a little touch of a, like, I wouldn't say it's a new wave song, but it sounds like a heavy metal song created while new wave is happening, if you know what I mean. You know, it's like, it's kind of like, I'd say Highway to Hell sounds like a metal album that is made while disco's happening. Like, there's just a little bit of a seep over. And like this, there's a little bit of a vibe, like, yeah, somewhere like New Order's doing stuff, you know, while this song is being written and recorded. Like, it just has a little bit of that vibe to it. I just love it. I think it's one of the greatest songs from the 80s. It's my favorite Dokken song. And yeah, it's great. And how could someone not put it in their top five? But anyway, so Johnny, what do you think?
This might be
most
angry I've ever heard Edwin at Eric.
It's into the fire. Okay, Johnny, what do you think?
Well, here's not a hear about it later moment. I fucking love this song. Top five for me. Could have crept up higher. It's tough when you get into that territory. But, man, everything you said, 100% agree with it. I mean, and I was shocked to hear you say that Pilson played that part, because in a song that perhaps is one of my bonus picks, I swear to God, in a later song, George plays a part that is so similar to that acoustic melodic part from Into the Fire that I was shocked. The first time I heard that song, I was like, oh my God, that's a part from Into the Fire. But man, that's just that juxtaposition of the heavy riff and the melodic guitar and the tone. I just think it's absolutely perfect. Perfect, the lyrics, the chorus, everything is so perfect about this song, and so heavy and yet so melodic at the same time, which is what makes Dokken great. And yeah, as far as Lick It Up, hell yeah, it's a better song and video than Lick It Up.
Yep. And Dokken's right on.
A kiss.
Dokken's not drinking fucking mustard and mayonnaise.
That's not even a question. They're on such a different level. Yeah.
So Fire is just a great fucking tune. Just great. An all-time classic.
Right on. Ryan, what do you think of Into the Fire?
Well, I don't mean to repeat a lot of what you guys have already said, but I am going to repeat a lot of what you guys have set, just in my kind of own way. But, like, yeah, I mean, like, this song is kind of a template for Dokken to me. It's like, it is like the quintessential Dokken song to a point, with that, like, back and forth of unbelievably melodic to just metal to back to melodic to, you know, just in the first, like, literally 30 seconds of the song, you go from the like, which is, you know, power chords into ding ding ding, you know, the acoustic guitar and the you weave a spell, very, you know, like, you know, mellow, but like literally 5 seconds later it's nah, 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 like right back into metal. And like, god, that was so cool at the time to me. I hadn't heard shit like that, and it was powerful to me. I remember watching that video and being like, god, I really like this band, I gotta get this album. That and you know, we just talked about it a couple songs ago, Just Got Lucky. Those were the songs I heard first. I had heard Breaking the Chains a couple times, but Just Got Lucky and Into the Fire were the songs that convinced me, like, I really like this band, I got to get their albums. So, yeah, I mean, fuck yeah. Into the Fire, all-time classic. Lynch is great on it. Don's great. Everybody's great on it. Just one of their best, and that's, you know, why three of the four of us had it in our top five.
Oh, God.
Eric, you're
the best. I fucking love this song. It's just, there's other songs I take over it, you know, and this one also has me a little bit burnout factor, because I've heard this song, you know, when I've heard this song a lot, you know, so there's just other songs I take over. It's a kick-ass song. It's still on my fucking list. This is the first Dokken video I saw as well, because it's the first one on that Unchain the Night, or Unchain the Videos, whatever it's called, that VHS tape. So this is the first Dokken video I ever saw, and I think it's a cool fucking video. It's like real cheesy, but like it's like the cool kind of cheesy, and it's like, you know, that early 80s heavy metal, you know, Mad Max post-apocalyptic bullshit. Like there's like, you know, there's like fucking barbed wire everywhere. Yeah, George Lynch with his Kaja Gugu haircut. You got, like, them, like, pushing a treasure chest towards this, like, woman with this crazy makeup on. You know, helicopters with spotlights and shit. Like, this new Escape from New York-looking setting. And you got, like, those big hand chairs. It's a cool fucking video. And there's snow. I don't know why the fuck there's snow out of nowhere. You know, but then again, this is our Christmas episode. We're docking around the Christmas tree.
Maybe it fits perfectly. Maybe they wrote it while they were on coke.
Yeah, because, you know, there was a lot of coke being done when they made Tooth and Nail. I mean, there's, you know, it was the 80s. Everyone was doing coke.
Yeah, I mean.
But yeah, I fucking love this goddamn song. It's fucking rules, man. Just the way Don sings, like, you weave your spell, your eyes ain't beckon me. It's like, oh, it's like he sings it amazingly. And fucking George.
You did well also, I just want to say.
Yeah, once in a while, Eric throws.
You sang that well, Eric.
Yeah, well, I used to be a singer in my band. It wasn't the greatest, but I could do some stuff like pretty good. But yeah, it's a great fucking song. I fucking dig it, man. You know, I love too, like after the solo, and just you hear like the, like it sounds like a fucking bomb dropping on Nagasaki or some shit, and they kick back in to the fucking song, man. Fucking rules. Yeah, I love this song. It's just there's other songs that like I put above it just because like I hear this Dokken song like a lot, you know. And so I there's some other songs I put above it, but it
all right, you gushed appropriately enough that you could still.
It's Dokken, man. They got so many good songs.
Okay, obviously you're wrong to not have it in your top five. But that aside, everything else you said was good. So. We can move on.
All right. Edwin's going to start number six. Me and Edwin both had this very high. Both had it at number three, and it's a song we were just talking about a couple minutes ago. The first single, the controversial, from Under Lock and Key, The Hunter.
Okay, well, it's ironic.
You don't like it as a single, Edwin, but love it as a song.
Yes, that's why it's ironic, because I actually love it even more than Unchained the Night. But objectively, I think Unchained the Night makes more sense as a single. I'll say this. For some bands in 1986, They wish they had a song like The Hunter. And yeah, it would obviously be a single for some bands. But this is a band called Dokken that really that had an album called Under Lock and Key that was loaded with really catchy crossover potential pop metal songs. And on that album, this sounds like a really awesome album track that's a Dokken classic. Maybe they could have used this. I think it would have worked well for like an episode of Miami Vice. Like during a cool montage scene.
Oh my god.
Would have been perfect. Yeah, you guys got it. 100%. Would have been perfect. So I would have saved this for a prominent
montage. I'm going to go get my laser right now and put it on.
Make it happen.
I'm going to go get a bag of Coke.
You just see Sonny Crockett just driving around at night and walking the streets trying to find that, you know, that hooker killer or whatever he's looking for. And to this song, it would have been perfect. It would have been perfect. So, you know, there's a lot of things they could have done with Under Lock and Key. And I feel that The Hunter would have been better served as a Miami Vice cut. And just as an awesome second song on the album and a great live staple. And I love it. It's my third favorite Dokken song. There have been periods in my life that's been my favorite Dokken song. The top three, my top three Dokken songs. The other one we might get to, who knows. But my top three Dokken songs have kind of shifted around throughout my life. And there have been periods where The Hunter has been my favorite Dokken song. It's just a perfect mid-tempo, moody, but really catchy, especially when it gets into that chorus. And it's, I mean, in the pre-chorus especially, I find very moving and melancholic. And
oh, it's great. It's
yeah. Who is it? And George's guitar line. And just, there's a groove to it, too. Like, that's the thing. You listen to a lot of these other bands during this period, there's a stiffness to them. But here, there's a groove to this that you kind of have to go back to the 70s, too, with, like, the Stones and Led Zeppelin and Aerosmith, where there's just a groove to it. That's all I can say. Maybe even a little, like, 70s ZZ Top, where there's a quality to it that just, this band's on a different level. And again, Don, the way that I said it, his crooning and on the verses, and it's a mystical, magical, restless, predatory, romantic, dark, haunting, fucking gem of a song. And I love it. Yeah. I love it. Shouldn't have been the first single. But I love it. It's a fucking great song. It's the fucking The Hunter. I love that it's called The Hunter, too.
Yep.
Not just any Hunter. The Hunter. It's great. I love it. Fucking awesome. Top shelf Dokken.
Yeah, I'll take it next because me and you both had it at three. It's awesome. I agree with you. It's not a single. It's too kind of just dark and like, I mean, there are some cool, real catchy hooks in the song. Like that bridge, like, oh God, I love that bridge. It's my favorite part of the song. And then it comes to me with the moon rises full in the sky. Like that, that's like vintage Don. It's vintage Dokken. It's so good, and it's unique too. There wasn't a lot of bands like doing stuff like that at that time. Like, I thought Dokken was very different. It's one of the reasons, like, they were so high at that point in my list. Like, just, like, the bands that were captivating me. And, you know, this song just has a ton of that. And again, we say it over and over and over again, but their songs had such good dichotomies of metal and catchy and melodic in the same songs. And it's one of the reasons they were my favorite band. Just that. And then this song, it's all over. I love it. But not a great choice for a single. It's just too much, a little too deep for the average music fan. But all of us had it in our top 20, and Johnny had it next. You had it at number 16, Johnny the Hunter.
Oh, it's a great song, but you're totally right. Not a single. It's hard to get into a mid-tempo. For a casual music fan, but it's also hard to write these mid-tempo songs and have them be so great like Dokken does. I mean, it's not a thing that you saw bands be successful with. They aren't like a prog band or something at the time. Like, Dokken was so successful at doing this, and it just talks about the the musicianship of the band and the great lyrics and the imagery and like the pre-chorus. I mean, there's nothing wasted on the song. It's perfect. You know what I mean? It's a perfect album track. They made it a single, but really, like, I agree. It's really an album track, in my opinion. But it's a great fucking song. And Dokken is so great at churning out these types of songs. So I think it's great. I think the sequence to follow on Chain the Night is absolutely perfect. So why it was selected as a single, yeah, that's a question for the record company. But man, what a great track and what a perfect placement on the album. I love the song. It's a great song.
Love it. Eric, finish off the Hunter. You had it at 16. We are 17. We all had it in our top 20.
I fucking love the Hunter, man. It's the song fucking rules. I will agree, it's probably not the best choice for the lead-off single of the new album, but just fucking, it still kicks ass though. I fucking love it, man. This is like the perfect song to play when you're going out with your boys. You know, like when you're young, you're gonna go pick up some chicks, you're gonna party, drink a bunch of booze. It's just like the perfect, like, going out with the boys, like, hanging out, you know, it's Friday night kind of song, you know? It's just perfect. You're the hunter, man. You're out hunting for some pussy, you know? I fucking love it. It's a great fucking badass song, and it's almost kind of like, you know, I know Edwin's making a lot of comparisons of Don Dokken to Jim Morrison. I can totally hear Jim Morrison doing some lyrics like this. You know, like, you know, will I ever learn? You know, desire burns like a fire within. I can hear Jim Morrison doing it.
And when the shadows fall.
Yeah, it's like, it's just great. It's
lyrics spot on.
It's yeah. So sexy and poetic, man. It's like, I can hear Jim Morrison doing some shit like that, you know, and I fucking love the goddamn video. I don't know why this video never got big. I love how each member has their own kind of segment. You got, like, Jeff Pilson, like, you know, he's, like, being, like, you know, they're, like, he has, like, a bunch of people, like, hunting him down. He's, like, running in the woods, which is kind of cool. There's, like, a movie about that where it's, like, they're hunting people or something on this island, and so it gives me kind of that vibe. You know, you got Don driving around on the fucking motorcycle, which I love that goddamn motorcycle he has. I'd love to have that motorcycle. Mick Brown is, like, walking around the streets, and it's funny because it reminds me of, like, my favorite music video, Slip of the Lip by Rat, where, like, they got Bobby Blotzer, like, you know, he's out on Bourbon Street, like, you know, collecting money for bets, and, you know, kind of, Mick Brown's kind of just walking around the streets aimlessly, and they look so similar.
Kick Bobby's ass.
I agree, but I do find it funny because, like, Mick and Bobby are so similar, like, they look alike, they're both a drummer, and they're both, like, kind of, like, the
goofball, like, you're right.
And they're, like, both, like, kind of the goofball of the band. They're not, like, exactly, like, the pretty boy of the band. They're probably, like, the least attractive to the ladies, and, like, they're, like, the funny guy. Like, if you watch Bobby Blotzer in, like, interviews and, like, all the home videos, he's, like, the goofy guy, which is, like, Mick Brown. He's the goofy guy. He's the class clown. And then I love too with George when he's like in the Ferrari and like the cops chasing him down. I think it's a cool video. I love how each guy had their own kind of like little segment, you know, which is pretty badass. But that's a great song, great video. I fucking love the fucking Hunter, man. Just great like fucking party time Friday night song, man.
Yeah, I was really happy this ended up as high as it did. I just love this song. It's such a unique, just all Dokken song. Like, Dokken's the only band that can do a song like that.
I agree, man. It's just dark and moody, and just it kind of, like I said, it's like Doors-esque.
Yeah, really? And just to piggyback on what Johnny was saying about the sequencing, to me, I love the 1-2 punch of Unchained the Night, and then it's just when it launches into the song.
Yeah,
just guitar solo, and it's just like it's just a magical moment. It's such great album sequencing, especially on this album.
Like, that little first 3 seconds of Hunter is perfect out of that.
Yeah, it's just like exactly like after the big, you know, opening. You want like now? Let's get a little deeper. Let's get a little darker. Let's get a little more soulful. Yeah,
Brown like drum beat comes right in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's perfect. These guys are operating on another level.
Absolutely. All right, we move on. We are top 5 now, guys. We're coming down the home stretch.
Wow.
Eric is going to lead off. He had this at number 7. It's off of Back for the Attack, Prisoner.
God damn, this song rules, man. I love fucking Prisoner. It's just it's a sexy song, man. I fucking love it. It's sexy. I love it, man. Just another Don song where, like, man, he's just, God, this guy does not know how to pick good women. Like, he's dating a lot of shitty women, man. But yeah, I love the guitar work on it, you know, by George. You know, it's fucking killer. Just some of the riffage he's doing, the solo he does on here fucking rules, man. And I think it's a great, like, you know, second song for Back for the Attack. You start kind of the really dark, like, menacing, like, Kiss of Death, you know, which is really serious. And then you get into kind of the more, like, you know, kind of poppier song with Prisoner. But it's, like, a good poppy metal song. Like, it's still heavy. It's still got some balls and some bite to it. It just fucking rules, man. This is one I didn't get into until, like, kind of later on in life, like, in my adult years. This is just one that, like, I kept hearing, you know, because a lot of people I knew that were into hair metal, like, this was, like, the deep cut that they all, like, really loved and would play, and it just, like, it grew on me. It's a fucking killer song. You know, Don's vocal delivery is fucking killer, man. And we've all had that one bitch, man, that we've been with who makes us feel like a damn prisoner. So I love Prisoner by Dokken, man. It's a cool, cool fucking song.
All right, Edwin, you added number 6.
Yeah, I love this song. It's one of my favorite Dokken songs. I think it's my second favorite from Back for the Attack. It's always been one of my favorites. I was very happy to see this. I had a feeling this would make the top 20, that it would be my top 20, but I didn't know it would be quite as high as it was. So I was like, ooh, look, I guess I'm not the only one that really loves The Prisoner. Funny thing is, okay, this is going to sound a little like a contradiction here, because I feel like on one hand, this is the Hunter of this album. Like, it's a mid-tempo song. It kind of has a similar effect as the second track. After the more dynamic opening number. But in this case, it's the opposite. I think this should have been the first single. I think for a couple reasons, I think this would have been a good way to introduce Back for the Attack. Because I think, even though I personally like The Hunter a little bit better than this song, I think they're both great. I think The Hunter is a little moodier and has a little more atmosphere, and I think it's a little more soulful. But that's also why I don't think it's I don't think it would as connect with as many people. But The Prisoner is a little punchier in the chorus. It's a little poppier in a way, and a little heavier at the same time. And that guitar hook that Lynch has, it just really announces itself in a way that I think it could have worked well as a lead-off single with a cool video. There was a promotional single for this, like, I think as the third single, but they never made a video for it, and it was, like, released to some rock stations, but I never heard it on the radio. But to me, this for 1987, this, especially if they had some sexy chicks, you know, like hitting Don with some chains or something during the video, if they had some sexy, like, Poison, like Alice Cooper looking chicks in the video, and it was slick and it was punchy, and that whole chain by love.
Man, I was just about to say that. The Poison video of Alice Cooper.
Yeah, like, if it had a vibe like that, and I think with that catchy chorus, but yet still a little heavier and not quite as light in the loafers as Burning Like a Flame, I feel like this would have been a good first video single for Back for the Attack. That's just my opinion, and I always felt that since I was a teenager. I go, oh, that should have been like a video. That's a catchy-ass song. But I don't know who was working at Elektra. I don't know. I just think they were dropping the ball off talk.
I'll tell you who was working at Elektra. A bunch of dumbasses.
Yeah. But anyway, great fucking song. Killer metal, melodic metal song. Again, like we've been saying a lot, kind of song Dokken just does perfectly. And man, goddamn, just listen to fucking what George Lynch is doing on the guitar. He's just fucking, this is like Eddie Van Halen level genius, in my opinion. He's ripping it up, but the whole band's, you know, bringing their A game. It's a fucking awesome song. It's The fucking Prisoner. And they make like getting chained by love and being tormented by these evil demon women. They make it sound awesome. Like, I want that to happen to me. It just sounds like a fun night out. You know, it's awesome. I love the prison.
Hell yeah.
All right, Johnny, you had all three of you in the top 10. Johnny had it at number 8, Prisoner.
Yeah, I love this song. And sequentially, to follow Kiss of Death, I mean, you had to have a really strong song, and that is The Prisoner. I mean, it's a great song. It's heavy, but melodic, like Dokken does, but it's still accessible. It flows well after Kiss of Death, and it's a fucking classic tune, man. I love The Prisoner. I love everything about it. I mean, George is just on fire here, and it's one of my favorite Dokken songs. I love it. And man, to follow up Kiss of Death, which we may talk about later, we may not, but obviously, to follow that song, you had to have something that was really strong, and that's The Prisoner, man. What a great tune. What a great tune. Perfect second song, and, you know, that's a tough thing to do, especially an album that's so long, has so many songs, so many different songs. This they did right, placing that song right where it was at. Perfect.
Yeah, love it. I'll take this last. I mean, I had it at 15, which compared to you guys seems like I like it. God, I love it. And I actually agree with Edwin. Talked earlier about, like, I think there's a lot of songs where I can tie either the first to second album or second to third album, where I call them almost like cousin songs or sister songs, where I agree with Edwin 100%. This is the Hunter of Back for the Attack, kind of in that same tempo. But yeah, there's some really good hooks in this song, some great, you know, bridges, and that's what they're so great at. It's like, you know, just having these kind of, like, you know, and Don loves doing that brooding kind of slow bassy vibe, but then they go into just right after that a catchy melodic hook, and this song does that over and over again. It's like, kind of, you know, and Back for the Attack, they started making songs a little longer and a little more complicated and everything. And this even, you know, as a single type song, was a little more, you know, than their first three albums. And it worked still. It was still really good. And I love it. I mean, 15 is not an insult to it at all. I really like the song. All right, going to number 4.
Wait, did Eric talk about this?
Yeah.
Okay, so we all talked about Prisoner?
Yep.
Oh, yep. Wow, getting to number 4. Okay, sorry about that.
We're actually moving along a little bit. Amazing.
Well, I think the thing is, like, because, like, a lot of these songs have qualities that we've already discussed in other Dokken songs.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right, so we're going on to number 4, and Johnny's going to lead us off on here.
All right.
Number 2, and one of their biggest hits, and the last song we will have off of Under Lock and Key, In My Dreams.
My favorite songs of all time. And my favorite harmony part of all time. I don't know what it is, but man, that vocal harmony, especially on that last one they hit, is so perfect to me. I mean, I just don't get why this wasn't a Billboard top 10. I mean, the riff, the chorus, the verses, everything about this song to me is perfect. I listen to this. I mean, there's not a week in my life that goes by that I don't listen to In My Dreams by Dokken. I love everything about the song. I mean, and as far as the videos, we talked about the videos. Yeah, the video at the time was kind of wasn't well produced, wasn't great, but it's great still. Don with the cowboy hat and the leather jacket and the duster and all that. I mean, it's a great video, and it's a great song. I mean, to me, a perfect blend of poppin' metal. It's Dokken at their peak, playing and writing songs post Tooth and Nail. I mean, trying to get to that level where they're gonna break through. And I just don't know how they didn't do it, because to me this song is 100% perfection from a pop metal song to me. I love In My Dreams. Can't say enough great stuff about this tune, man. Love it.
Nice. Absolute beautiful, Johnny. And Eric, you're right up there with him, number 5 on your list. You love this one too.
God damn, I love this fucking song. And the funny thing was, I think the first time I heard it as a kid, it was on the Unchained the Videos or Unchained Night, whatever the VHS was called. When I heard the opening thing, In My Dreams, where it's all a cappella before the music kicks in, I actually thought that was kind of corny at first. I'm like, that song's kind of stupid. But then I heard the rest of the song, and then I just fucking loved it. I love the part, what can I say or do? It's so good, man. And I love Don Dokken with that fucking cowboy hat and the leather jacket. He looks so cool. He looks so fucking cool in that video. I literally have that exact same, outfit, just without the cowboy hat. That's all I need is the damn cowboy hat, the concho belt thing on it. But God, he's so cool in that video. It's just such a great, catchy fucking song, man. The harmonies are just and they're up there with fucking Van Halen harmonies. It's just, they're so fucking just orgasmic and sexy. And it's just another song too, man, where our good friend Mr. Donathan Dokken just getting his heart broken badly by this one bitch, man. In My Dreams, it's still the same. He's reminiscing about that girl that broke his heart. This is one that was always on them breakup playlists. Some chick broke my heart in high school. This is always going on that playlist of getting my heart broken. But it's a great fucking song, man. I love it. And especially the vocals, man. Just everyone, Jeff, Don, and Mick are all on fire on this song. The video's a little cheesy. It looks like one of those fucking cheesy ass, you go to the mall back in the 80s, I guess, and make a music video with horrible green screen. It looks like one of those. But other than that, it's a badass song, man. I fucking love In My Dreams.
Or our old high school pictures with the laser background.
Oh, God, yeah, it's like that.
That's what kind of reminds me of.
Yeah, but I remember, because even in the early 90s, I'm a 90s baby, in the early 90s, I remember there'd be, these places at the mall where you could, make, a custom music video, because I think my brother did it once, and it's, this shitty green screen, this grainy footage, it's so horrible. That's what this video reminds me of.
I don't think I've ever listened to this song on Spotify, on vinyl, yes. But I don't think I've ever played this song on my phone and not click back to hear the last harmony part one more time. I swear to God, I think I do it every time.
All right, I will take this last.
All right, so I should go next?
Edwin didn't go. Edwin, you go ahead.
Yeah, it was in my teens, I believe, but still, I mean, anything that was in my top 20, I love. I mean, it's fucking Dokken. I mean, if I had a top 30, everything in my top 30, I love. I love this song. Everything that Eric and Johnny said, and I agree 110% with Johnny. I listen to this, and I know Ryan said, yeah, it was on MTV a lot. I remember my brother, called it in to MTV, and I remember seeing it on MTV, but still I didn't hear it on the radio, and this is a radio hit. It's a radio fucking hit. They're even doing acapella shit.
If Bon Jovi released this, it would be a fucking big hit, but because Donathan Dokken, they don't care.
It's a couple of things. It's also let's imagine Def Leppard released between Hysteria and Pyromania. Let's say there was some lost album from 86 that they released. And In My Dreams was one of the songs. You tell me that wouldn't be huge?
Yeah.
Of course it would have been.
You'd be hearing it on radio to this
day. You'd be hearing on the radio to this day. And so I think there's a couple of reasons. Because I think there's a lot of reasons why In My Dreams was not a... It should have been a top 10. Like Johnny said, top 10 Billboard hit. Not pop charts. I'm not talking fucking rock charts. Should have been a top 10 crossover pop hit. No reason why it has the goods. everything that it could have in 1986, it brought to the table. I think there's three things. I think the video wasn't horrible. It had its moments. Some of the green screen stuff was, even then, a little cheesy. Yet the video could have been a little bit better. But it did have some... Those shots of Don in the rain with the cowboy hat were great.
Oh, he looks like a badass. He's so cool.
The coolest he ever looked in a video ever. And I thought those shots were good. They kind of were halfway there at the video. Placement, in terms of, like, how they released the singles, I agree. Second song to release, they got that part right. But I think what it was coming off of, the first single, made a difference. I still think if they had a splashier Unchained the Night video as the lead-off video, and then a couple months later released this, it would have prepped up this single more, I think, than The Hunter. I think it would have kind of created a little bit of a buzz for Doc, and then, boom, you hit them with the big fucking pop hit. I don't think there was that same strategy. There wasn't that kind of thoughtful strategy to setting up In My Dreams to be such a big hit. Also, I don't know what they were doing with Paoli or whatever. Elektra was obviously not paying the radio stations to play Dokken songs the same way other labels were getting the Def Leppards and what have you on the radio. So there's some other angle there that behind the scenes they were not investing as much in Dokken as they should have.
Don't understand that.
To me, it's a hit. Like, why is Elektra not paying everything to make sure In My Dreams is on the radio all over the place?
Because they suck.
Yeah, I just, you know, and why isn't Dokken appearing on Miami Vice? You know?
What the fuck?
Like, why aren't they pushing this fucking band that's writing the fucking hits? This is the album. Under Lock and Key is their Pyromania. It's the album that has a bunch of fucking hits.
And I am the biggest Rat fan in the world. I love Rat. But take away freaking Round and Round and tell me they have a song better than In My Dreams as far as a pop crossover hit.
And I think In My Dreams is even poppier than Round and Round. Like it literally has a layered melodic a cappella section. You know, it's very pop friendly. It's very, very radio friendly. This is something that ladies can like. And obviously, Headbanger Chicks in 1986, you know, the parking lot crowd, they did love it. You know, they were all there before Judas Priest to see the Dokken. But I'm talking about like the regular pop girls, like, you know, that weren't listening to shit, like girls that would listen to Duran Duran and stuff. I feel could get into this. If you like Duran Duran, you could like In My Dreams, you know? But they just weren't being pushed the way they should have been.
Absolutely, you could.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's an amazing. It's pure ear candy. It's got like a melody that you go back to. Like, this like could be like that melody could be like a Beach Boys melody. Like, it's just pure ear candy. It's an amazing song. It should have made Dokken fucking huge. In this song, you should just hear it on the radio all the time to this day.
I agree.
And it's fucked up. A lot of people dropped the ball in a very big way in 1986. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
In My Dreams, this song's a hit on the fucking radio today.
Yeah, it should be. Same way you hear, like, fucking Living on a Prayer and Photograph. Fuck that song. And you should be hearing this just as much.
Fuck Tommy and Gina. They fucking suck.
God, this song wipes the floor with it. Ryan, what do you think of this pop metal, pop rock, whatever? It's just a fucking pop masterpiece. What do you think of it?
I have a little different spin on this. I mean, I really like the song. Number 13 on my list, not as high as you guys have. Well, same exact. Me and Edwin had it the same, 13.
Yeah.
I love it, but I have a kind of a little bit of a different take on it. Like, this is, it's a really well-written, just pop hard rock song, pop song period. But, like, I could also hear this song, like, the one thing I don't love the production overall on Under Lock and Key. I think it's too glossy, and this song...
It's Hysteria! It's hysteria.
It is.
They're hysteria.
I disagree. I think that's Back for the Attack. I think Under Lock and Key is like that bridge. Like I compare it with like Slip of the Lip. It's like it's not as raw as like the early 80s, but it's not as glossy as like the late 80s. It almost has like kind of a cokey Miami Vice kind of feel to it, like being at a Miami club doing a bunch of blow. It's like a haziness, like a hazy production.
I'd describe it. In a way, though, maybe you're getting a little of what Ryan's saying. I will say this. I love it. I still think it should be a pop hit regardless. And I think if they paid the radio stations and did things my way, it would have done better. But that being said, the one thing I think Pyromania had over Under Lock and Key, Mutt Lange really created really punchy dynamic productions that jumped out of speakers. Yes. They jumped out of speakers. Underlock, but you know, the thing is, to be fair though, did every fucking pop hit from the mid 80s jump out the speakers like a Mutt Lange production? No. So I still think this should have been a bigger hit. But that being said, I kind of get what you're getting at with the production. The production on Underlock Your Key is a little, especially before the remaster, the Rock Candy remaster, makes it sound a little closer to a Mutt Lange production, actually. It's a little
punchy. The riff of In My Dreams, when I play it, it's very similar to the Pour Some Sugar on Me riff. Not that it's better, it's a better riff, but the production sound to me is very similar to Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yeah, I think the funny thing is, I think the production, if this was like in 87 or 88, it would have been fine. But I think 86, the sound was still a little punchier coming out of radio speakers. With a lot of the drum machines and synthesizers, and there's a little more of a... All I can say is, I don't know, Mutt Lange produced in a way that was like kind of perfect to make rock and pop, like pop rock or hard rock songs jump out of a speaker in a way that the producer of Under Lock and Key didn't do that. But anyway, this is Ryan's turn. So Ryan, sorry.
All right. So I was just like starting to say, like, this is as much as I like the song, and I really like the song, and I accept it for how it was recorded. I just feel like I wouldn't have recorded this song this way. There's very few songs I can think of in like the history of time where I like really like the song, but like I still have like a sticking point in my head. Like I just don't think this song was recorded to its like hilt, like where it could have been its best. And I think this is a well enough written song. And this is always the test of a great song is like it literally could be good in any genre that you recorded in. Like, I can literally hear this song, like, you guys just did a Motown episode. I could hear this as a Motown song. Like, if you recorded In My Dreams, like, that chorus, In My Dreams, like, you could make that a Motown song.
Yeah, the Temptations could have sang it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
And I just thought, like, as much as I love the song, the one thing I don't love about it is the over-the-top, glossy chorus. Like, it's too much for me, but I'm going to transition to the other half of the song, and this is why I love George Lynch. As much as I love the melodies and everything that Don does on this song, this song is great because of the guitar. You could have this as an instrumental and it would be an unbelievable song. And when you go that from that opening riff to the picking he does during the different parts of the songs. I mean, this is Lynch at his absolute best. Melody within a guitar without even a singer having to open their mouth. And then Don does add to the song. Huge, huge. I'm not trying to diminish Don's part of it, but man, this song to me is all guitar. And the solo on this song, one of my favorite solos of all time.
Agree. I think it's one of Lynch's best solos. Yeah,
it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. But it's a really well written song. It's a really, really well written pop song. It went too glossy, too layered. Like I would love to hear those harmonies a little bit more organic, a little bit more like what they have good singers in the band. You don't have to like super produce their voices.
Oh, God, I love those harmonies. Oh, my God.
Hey, it's all that to Def Leppard. What do you mean? There's like 100 billion of them singing at once.
Yeah, for real. There's
some our good friend Ralph Fiera does not like the song.
All right, we're going into number three. The last track from Back for the Attack. And we are going to have Eric lead us off. He had this number 9. We all had it in our top 10. Kiss of Death, the opening track, and also a note here. Every opening track from the first 4 albums made the top 20. And this is the last of them.
As it should.
Yeah. No, Dokken knows how to open an album.
Hell yeah, man. I'm going to take this one away then. Kiss of Death. This song fucking rules, man. I fucking love it. You know, it's a great song. An AIDS song. This is in 88, man. This is the late 80s when fucking AIDS was, like, going on, man. You know, and I wasn't around during that time, but I imagine it was a scary time because, you know, it was just, no one knew what the fuck was going on with this AIDS thing. And, you know, a lot of these rock bands, man, they're just all having unprotected sex. They didn't give a fuck. So a lot of them were very scared, man. A lot of people in Hollywood, even just regular people, man. It was a scary time. You know, everyone's just fucking, you know. But now all of a sudden it's like, well, I mean, what's going to happen to us? You know, we should be safe, this and that. So I imagine it was a very scary time. And you know, Kiss of Death is about that, man. You know, and It's a cool fucking song. They took a very dark, like, you know, very dark, scary subject and made a kick-ass song about it. And it's just something like Dokken would do, man, with, like, these kind of dark kind of themes, you know, with their songs. Kiss of Death just rules. Now, I will say, as much as I think it's a great opening track, and I think it's just because of, like, I heard Standing in the Shadows first because of my, you know, like I previously mentioned when we talked about that song, my accidental dropping of the needle too early and start off with that song. I feel like Standing in the Shadows is, like, maybe a little bit better of an opening track, but that's just me. But even then, this is a great opener anyway. Don does some great fucking screams in it, and George just fucking, yeah, I mean, he makes that guitar fucking scream on this fucking song. It's a killer tune. I fucking love the shit out of it. I guess I'm gonna let Ryan take this one next.
Yeah, I had this way high. I have this at number 4, and I told the story right at the beginning of the top 20 with Burning Like a Flame, where I was just a starving Dokken fan waiting for the new album and heard Burning Like a Flame, and then 2 weeks later they threw just this random college radio station that I happened to get reception to started playing Kiss of Death before the album even came out, and I would just play. I mean, this was like the closest thing I could kind of associate it to was waiting for the second Skid Row album, when, you know, Skid Row had made this kind of poppy hard
rock. Yeah.
And then, you know, I heard the first song I heard Slave to the Grind was Slave to the Grind. And I think I heard before it even came out, I think for some reason I was just blown away. I was like, this is like borderline thrash. And while, you know, maybe Kiss of Death isn't at the level of Slave of the Grind, it's pretty close, and it's so heavy for Dokken, and, you know, only a couple other songs prior to that Dokken had done. I think it's borderline the heaviest song they ever did.
Yeah.
And, that riff, man, oh god, I mean, that is one of Lynch's crowning achievements. It's just ridiculous. So heavy, and I like the production. I mean, there is a little overproduction at times on this album, but I like the way the song was produced. It was the right song to be a little overproduced, if that makes any sense. I always loved the song, and there's a little sentimentality to, like, hearing it right before the album came out and being so, like, super hype for this album I had been waiting for 2 years. But it's just it is, you know, the last, or no, I take that back, not the last, but one of the many great, like, true metal Dokken songs. And it is really heavy in all ways, shapes, and forms. Lyric content, you know, guitar riffs, everything. It's just one of their best. So happy it came in the top 5.
Hell yeah.
And next on this one, had it at number 6, was Johnny.
Oh, man, what an unrelenting metal romp this song is. Just unbelievable. Love it. Classic song. I mean, that time, I remember, like, yeah, the AIDS thing was crazy. I mean, that Don's had his heart broken by all these chicks, and now he's got the HIV from one. I feel bad for Don at this point in time, but seriously, though, on that note, like, I remember, like, that time, like, in the little city that I live in, like, we had, like, this guy knew Sean Williams. It was a Dateline. He had AIDS, and he was trading drugs for sex with girls, and he infected like 30-40 people. And I remember in school, we all had to go down to the clinic. They brought the whole school down there. People had to get tested. It was a crazy time, you know, with yes. The AIDS in the late 80s, early 90s. And
dude, people that lived through that time, that when Magic Johnson, the news that popped that you know, Magic Johnson, that was crazy. Mm-hmm. I was a freshman in college. That was like, it stopped the world.
Yeah, it did. It was a crazy time. But this song is tremendous, and it's one of the heaviest Dokken songs. And what a way to open an album. I mean, truly tremendous. You know, George just rocks through it. It's just unbelievable.
And again, on that pattern of like opening tracks, man, I mean, we may or may not have another one, but man, their opening tracks to all their first handful albums, man, so good, so good.
I did a spot once on back when Ian Wadley had his show on that metal station. I went on the show one Saturday and did a top 5 songs of 1987, and I know this was one I had on there for me. Just what a great tune. Never get sick of it. Just hard rocking, just like romp. And it's not a short song either. I mean, it's a song.
To that point, it was the longest song they'd ever recorded, like 550, I think it is.
Yeah, or something
like
that. Yeah. It's just unrelenting. Doesn't pull any punches. Great track. Great, great, great track.
All right, Eric, you're next. You had a number 9.
Now, Eric, or you mean me?
Yeah.
All right, oh, no, Eric let off. I'm sorry. number 10.
Yeah, I had a 10. But a very strong 10. I love Kiss of Death, of course. It's fucking awesome. Yeah, it's a brutal song. Comes in very heavy. One of Dokken's heaviest songs. Could be their heaviest, you know, depending on your definition of heavy. Maybe there's a couple other songs that we didn't talk to yet about yet that are also heavy. But yeah, this is very heavy, borderline thrash. I think it's a great way to kick off the album. I think George Lynch is, like, I think throughout most of Back for the Attack, George Lynch is the VIP on the album. He's really doing amazing guitar work. He does, like, the pinch harmonics in the beginning, which you could hear, like, especially in this song, you could hear, like, just a couple years later, Dimebag and, like, Zakk Wylde and stuff. I hear a lot of influence, I hear. And this is kind of bridging the sound of, like, 80s metal to, like, very early 90s, right on the cusp of grunge kind of metal. Like, you know, kind of stuff you get, like, hear, like, Zakk Wylde do and Dimebag and stuff. And I love Slave to the Grind, but to me, this is on a fucking other level. Again, nothing against Skid Row, and I love the Slave to the Grind album. That's my favorite Skid Row album. But I just think Dokken's on a different level, and I just think Kiss of Death is like just blows away anything Skid Row ever did. And this is just an amazing song. Just fucking hits. This closer Judas Priest, you know, that thing where it's just classic metal, you know. And it's a little on the borderline of thrash, but still, it's just fucking metal. And if someone says, "Oh, Dokken's like a hair metal band," play the fucking Kiss of Death, and you'll shut them the fuck up real quick.
Yeah.
George also opened with this one when I saw him last month. It was great. It was a great opening track, and you know, it's fucking classic. Kiss of Death. How could you not love it? You know, stay away from the AIDS, but fucking embrace this song. It's fucking awesome.
Hell yeah.
All right, everybody's spoken on Kiss of Death. Everybody good?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right, number two is a, I don't know what you want to title it, a tethered track.
You can't have one without the other.
You cannot have one without the other.
Yeah, we chatted on this over our lead up to this episode to record it, but I just don't think you can hear the song Tooth and Nail without no pun intended, without warning before it. And let's let Edwin had a number nine. You lead us off on this one.
Okay, amazing. This is something I remember my brother playing the Tooth and Nail cassette quite a bit. And the cassette had a different album cover. It was creepier. I actually prefer the cassette cover. If you've ever seen
it, had the Google. Double claws, like palming, like...
Yeah, it was like more satanic looking in a way. The other, the LP and CD cover looks more like a monster movie, whereas the cassette looks more like a dark satanic.
Oh, thing. I'm looking at it now. Yeah,
you see what I mean? It also reminds me a little like the mirror hand in Prince of Darkness, John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, it's very creepy. I always just assumed that was a cover. It wasn't until like the 90s that I realized there was this other cover. I remember just like looking at that cassette cover. I borrowed this, from my brother quite a bit, and just the when Without Warning comes on, it's just like this majestic opening, and it kind of fades in, and it's very haunting. And I love like the synthesizer in the background, and George is doing all this really cool stuff, and it just keeps building and building and building. It's very cinematic. I think Dokken, like, I'm surprised, like, not just Dream Warriors, obviously. I'm surprised a lot of Dokken music wasn't used in more movies. Again, I don't know what fucking Elektra Records was doing. Like, this shit sounds like it's perfect for a lot of 80s movies, And it just has this atmosphere. It gets a little bit like a John Carpenter movie, like, just the way it comes in, that atmosphere. And then, you hear the feedback, and when it just kicks in. Bam! Most badass sounding thing you'll ever fucking hear is when Tooth and Nail fucking comes in. And this is like just straight up like Motorhead type shit. It just comes in, fucking taking prisoners. It's, I think in a way, it's hard to say, like, I guess technically Kiss of Death's maybe a little heavier, but this has that early 80s grime to it though. That makes it seem a little dirtier and even meaner. And even more badass, I love Kiss of Death, but to me, Tooth and Nail's like even more badass. And yet you still have Don, sings this melody that still makes it there's some melodic quality to it, And I love the gang vocals. And I think this, for my money, is the best George Lynch guitar solo. This is my favorite anyway. I think it's his greatest guitar solo.
Good one.
He's just like, the whole band's just going to town. And it's just like, how could you not love Tooth and Nail? You don't love Tooth and Nail. You don't love rock and roll. You don't love metal. You don't even love yourself. There's something wrong. And I feel sorry for you. Listen to Tooth and Nail. It's fucking awesome.
All right. I'm going to bounce this around in a weird way this time. I'm going to go to the person who had it the lowest, but not low at all. I mean, he had it at 15, so he obviously loves it. But Eric, what are your thoughts on Without Warning / Tooth and Nail?
This song, man. This fucking song rules, man. I fucking love Tooth and Nail. Like I said, the first songs I heard from it were just the singles. The Unchained, the video sing, and also I think... it was the Unchained, the videos VHS. It was like Alone Again... Into the Fire, Just Got Lucky, and Into the Fire is a pretty heavy song. It's still very like it's more poppier than the rest of the like the deep cuts on the album. So I was used to that. So when this song I heard before my dad bought the album at Circuit City, so I was familiar with the song when he bought the CD. But I remember it was Music Choice, because it was like Headbangers, Metal Mania on VH1 Classic, or it was Music Choice, like the metal station. And, I'm listening to Music Choice, And I remember just hearing fucking Tooth and Nail for the first time. For me, that was like the heaviest fucking Dokken song I ever fucking heard, man. It's just like, I mean, this shit's borderline thrash. I mean, it's so fucking heavy. It just fucking melted my fucking face off the first time I fucking heard it. I love it, man. It's a great song. You know, I've sung this song with my band before. Like, I had my band in high school. It's just, it's fucking killer, man. Lynch is on fire. Don's singing his ass off. And it's like kind of Scorpions-ish sounding. I could hear this being on a early 80s Scorpions album, man. Because, you know, Don's doing the Klaus Meine kind of the screams, you know. Fucking rules. And like I said, man, I loved it too. You know, when I saw that album cover with the Creature from the Black Lagoon hand, I loved it because I love Creature from the Black Lagoon. And man, when I heard Without Warning, though, to lead it off, it was total game changer, because it's so much better when you add Without Warning to the beginning. That kind of, like, you know, it's like a roller coaster, man. It's like when you're going up, you know, it's like going up real slowly. You hear like the cranking of like the gears and whatnot. And you're just like, the anxiety's building up, 'cause you know you're going to fucking make that big drop, you know. And that's, I love Without Warning adds to the game. It makes it like a roller coaster ride. So, excuse me. I love fucking Tooth and Nail, man. Fucking just killer song.
All right. I saved me for last on this one. because this was my number one. This is my favorite Dokken song of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And again, like, you guys have heard me tell kind of my history with Dokken, and one of the reasons is, you know, to this point I had heard Breaking the Chains, I had heard Just Got Lucky, and I had heard Into the Fire, which are all kind of melodic, catchy pop rock songs. So I buy this album on cassette at the time, because everything was cassette at that time, and I put the album on, and again, my transition, I just heard Rad, I just heard Def Leppard, I just, you know, this is where I'm starting to hear all this new shit, and like, this was just flat out metal, and for all I know, it might have been like really like, you know, the first true metal song I ever heard. You know, I mean, a couple of the songs on Shout or Out of the Cellar, but this is like just sheer metal. This is like, I mean, like that opening riff. Holy shit! It just right out of that. Brilliant intro. I absolutely love, like, I've heard people like review this album and they like separate Without Warning from Tooth and Nail. No, it's one song. I mean, it's like the old Sabbath shit with the intros. It's with the Eddie Van Halen shit with the intros. It's one song. It's like One Foot Out the Door, and I mean, like, you don't separate those songs. Those songs are meant to be played together. And Edwin, I knew you were going to beat me to the punch if I let you go before me on this song, even though number one. But the synth on fucking Without Warning sounds like a John Carpenter movie.
It does. It just has that vibe.
I mean, that's Halloween.
Yeah, and it's like the way his, like, I like the roller coaster analogy, but also it's like his what I call the John Carpenter overture. Like, where you just see the credits, you know, over black, and you hear the music, and this is kind of like that for the album. It's overture. Brilliant.
And I love it, and it's part of what I think, like, God, Without a Warning is such an integral part to the song. To me, like, it is really, like, those two together, what a, like, I know Breaking the Chains should be looked at on its own, but, like, to me, Tooth and Nail was kind of the true introduction of that band as, like, as far as what they ended up being. And, like, so as much as I respect Breaking the Chains, it was a completely different thing almost 4 years earlier. This was the intro. This was like the, you know, Running with the Devil. This was like first track, first album. Like, this is what our band is. And, man, to introduce yourself with Without Warning into Tooth and Nail, and agree, George Lynch, best guitar solo ever, one of the best guitar solos ever, Tooth and Nail. That fucking solo is God. It is legendary. It is perfect. And I am not a big, in many notes, a minute as second as you can do, but that at the end of it, it's one of the best end of a guitar solos ever. And man, Lynch, you know, my senior chain, Lynch is God, right there, man. And that fucking tooth and nail solo is the best, one of the best solos ever, absolutely ever.
Awesome. What I just want to add too about there's in a lot of ways there's a lot of similarities more to this song to a thrash opening on an album than what people would call, like, you know, hair metal at this time period. Like, look at Ride the Lightning, which came out just a couple months before this album. They both
agreed,
came out
before.
And, you know, you have the acoustic haunting kind of opening, and then it kicks into, you know, Fight Fire with Fire. And, like, think about, like, yeah, that's heavier than this song. But I still feel like they're more cut from the same cloth than what you heard Motley Crue or Rat doing. You know,
exactly.
You have atmosphere. You have a kind of cinematic opening. You have the dynamic. You go into a really fast and furious thrash song, and even like a Hammett's guitar solos. Although I don't think on the level of Lynch, but still, he's doing similar kind of things and shredding and different stuff that he's doing during the solos. I just feel like Tooth and Nail. Like, yeah, they had songs that were much poppier. Like, you know, You Just Got Lucky and Ballads Like Alone Again that Metallica wouldn't do. But Tooth and Nail, to me, sounds closer to what Metallica was doing than what other quote-unquote hair metal bands were doing at that time period. To me, they were closer. I mean, what do you guys think about that?
Oh, I agree with you 100%, mm-hmm. But this is going to fly.
Yeah.
This is going to fly right in the face of, like, where you guys love Don and I love George. And this is one of the biggest reasons I like George over Don. Without warning, Tooth and Nail, Don had nothing to do with either one of those songs.
Yep, it's true.
And that's the version of Dokken that Pilsen and Lynch had. That's not the version of Pilsen that of Dokken that Don Dokken had. Don Dokken was more in the Into the Fire, Alone Again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the songs he wrote on this album. This album, Lynch and Pilsen wanted to make a metal album. And that's why this song opened this album.
Yeah. They didn't even want, George didn't even want Alone Again on the album. Like, they had the fight to put that on, because George was like, I do not want that on the album.
But, you know, that's why, though, these bands, you know, like Guns N' Roses were like that, and Dokken's like that, and unfortunately they never embrace it. That's what made them great, was that they had all this on one album, all these influences, you know?
Yeah.
And the fact that you could have Tooth and Nail, but then have Into the Fire and Alone Again, that was the magic of Dokken. And unfortunately, they didn't like fully appreciate it. Maybe Jeff did, but Don and George, you know, didn't necessarily. George definitely didn't. But, you know, I mean, that's like George didn't like In My Dreams, but like you brought up, listen to his amazing guitar work he's doing. Like, how could you not be proud of that? Like, yeah, you elevated that pop rock song, you know, but and then Tooth and Nail, and I'm sure Don was proud of, like, I mean, he stepped in, he might not wrote the song, but he sang it in a way that I don't think anyone else would, you know, he brought some of that Scorpions, you know, influence, and he nailed it, you know.
Don is awesome on Tooth and Nail. I mean, he's great.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the band just, like, they brought so much to the table, and on this album, like, this is the first Dokken as a band album.
Well, and predominantly it's Pilsen and Lynch written album. Don did not write much on this album.
No, but he did write the two of the singles. So that's a little like Sting with the Police. You know, Sting would write all the singles, but then Stuart Copeland would do a lot of the album tracks, you know. So yeah, Don was a popular guy for the most part. But then again, they did write You Just Got Lucky. So that shows that Pilsen and Lynch could write popular shit when they wanted to.
Yeah, and Pilsen's just a guy who needs a vehicle to present his songs. He's not dynamic enough to, like, be a solo artist or anything. But if he finds the right guy to perform it, and Don did his song great.
Yeah.
Pilsen, you know, he could be very successful that way. Pilsen's a good songwriter.
Hey, Johnny, you got anything else to say about Tooth and Nail? Anyone else?
Not so fast, my friends. I was waiting.
Yeah.
Wait back in the cut. Now, here. So, honestly, my favorite band, Van Halen, big Van Halen fan, but by far and away, my favorite band is Van Halen, but I grew up with it. Like, my dad had the records. It was played, you know what I mean? I heard Eruption. I heard, you know, it was something that was played around the house. You know what I mean? And I always hear people talk about, you know, that we're born in the 70s. Oh, when we bought that Van Halen album, dropped the needle on Eruption, and you really got me now. Well, I had that with Dokken. Because, I mean, you guys are familiar. When you're growing up in the 80s, you can only buy so much. You get in it. Back for the Attack, you get in at Girls, 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 you get in at Pyromania, you gotta go back, you know what I mean? You don't have any money, you know, you gotta go back and buy, then you buy Under Lock and Key, then you buy Shout at the Devil, eventually you get back to Too Fast for Love, eventually you get back to Tooth and Nail, and I remember putting the tape in, and hearing Without Warning and Tooth and Nail, and being like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, this is the shit. You know what I mean? But it takes some time. You know what I mean? It takes some time to, like, get... You had to work. You had to mow lawns.
No, dude, I love what you because I have, like, I'm 10 years older than you, roughly. But, like, I had the same shit with, like, bands like Aerosmith and stuff where I got in 87 and then I went back and I was like, holy shit, how did they have these great songs that I never heard before?
Right, and that was kind of like my, not to even compare it, but the Eruption, you really got me now. Like, to hear Without Warning going to Tooth and Nail and then, wow. Just wow, what a fucking absolute monster song of metal. Like, you're listening to Girls, 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 then, you know, you buy Lock and Key, and you're still hearing these great songs. Lightning Strikes Again's on there, but, you know, nothing was on Under Lock and Key. Yeah, Back for the Attack was the first album I bought, so I knew it was a heavy band, like Kiss of Death, and Staying in Shadows, some other stuff, but nothing could, like... Wow, like, to hear that Without Warning and Tooth and Nail was just definitely a changing, like, wow, Dokken, real deal.
Okay, who's got the
who the fuck bubble?
Whose phone is blowing up?
What is that sound?
I don't know, it's not me.
Not me.
Who the fuck is... Not me.
Well, that was my take on the whole, Tooth and Nail thing, man. It blew me away when I first heard it. I was just, and still to this day, I love to hear those songs as a companion. I mean, it's just so classic.
Yeah, and also the sequencing, again, man, and then it goes into Just Got Lucky, which is like the perfect poppier mid-tempo song that has another shift. It's perfect. Like, you know, these fucking Dokken guys, they're talented.
Yeah.
they should go places.
All right, so we
side with Elektra.
Yeah,
are we all ready for number one?
Hell yeah! What is number one? Let's drum roll.
Wait! Before we go, I want to say one thing. This is the Without Warning for number one. This is the set it up. I just want to say one thing. I knew this would be the number one song. That's all I'm gonna say. Because
honestly,
two of you. No, I'm not. Because two of you spoiled it a little bit. Because I just say I noticed that it was very high on your list. And I knew it was high on my list. Not my number one, but it was very, very high. And I figured the fourth person, there's no way they couldn't have this in their top 20. So I knew it was going to be either one or two. I knew it would be... I kind of knew this in Tooth and Nail would probably be the top two. But that's all I wanted to say. So it didn't disappoint me. And I got to say, even though it was not my number one, I'm very, very happy... This was the number one. And to me, this is even more legit than that time, Eric, remember when we scientifically proved Rocket Ride was the best Kiss song?
I remember that. I remember that shit. That was awesome.
This is even cooler. This is even cooler. I'm so thrilled.
I agree.
I'm excited. I'm excited for when Rock... And I want to hear the full title, including the parentheses. Okay, Ryan, go ahead.
I don't even know. I mean, I'm going to hand it off to one of the hosts because one of the hosts had it number one. And it's the third track off of the debut album, Shocker, Breaking Chains, this was one of the bigger surprises to me. But when you know that two of the four of us had it number one, it pretty much, and the third person had number two. You'll know why it's number one, and I'll give it to Eric, and it is Paris is Burning, parentheses, Live in Berlin.
Oh, man. That fucking guitar, that motherfucking guitar solo to begin the fucking song. Oh, my fucking God. It's just like, oh, like, there's a fucking Steeler song with Yngwie Malmsteen where he begins with a guitar solo. That song doesn't come fucking close to this shit. This fucking rules. And it's funny, I remember for years trying to find the studio version, so I found out there was no studio version. This is just some obscure bonus track that they threw onto the American release of Breaking the Chains. And this is actually, I think this was like a song George did in one of his like pre-Dokken bands, and they just did it live.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the writing credits, there's like, George doesn't have a writing credit, and like Don, Jeff, or none of those guys have writing credits. But man, does this song kick so much fucking ass. Just the title itself, Paris is Burning. Obviously, Ian Wadley would really love this song, because he fucking hates, like, France. But god damn, I love this damn song. And it's just the fucking guitar solo to open it, and then, like, just the song itself fucking rules. It's like Don just, like, singing about this girl that broke his heart, but he's not real melancholy or anything. He's just talking about, like, man, fuck you, you're a bitch, you know, you broke my heart, and talking about, like, Paris is burning, I can see it from afar. Like, this man is so heartbroken by this girl, he literally wants to burn down an entire fucking city and just watch it burn, because this bitch broke his heart that bad. And man, that's some cool shit right there. That's fucking metal as fuck. I love this song. I remember getting in trouble once because I was singing this song in school. Like, I snuck my Walkman into school, and we're getting ready. We're, like, lining up out the door. This is elementary school, mind you. And we're lining up out the door, getting ready to leave for the end of the day to get on the bus. And I busted out my Walkman, which I wasn't supposed to. I kind of, like, snuck it, like, in my pocket. I'm like, well, it's the fucking end of the school. And I start playing this song. So I had the Dokken's Greatest Hits CD in my Walkman. And I start, like, singing this, like, I was so into it, I just start singing the lyrics and shit, and I got in so much fucking trouble for it. Like, the teacher, like, yelled at me, like, hey, don't be singing that. And so I left, went on the bus, just listening to this song, but it just fucking rules, man. I fucking love this song. It's easily one of Dokken's, like, best songs. It's probably the best song on fucking Breaking the Chains, easily the best song. And it's easily one of their heavier songs, too, man. I mean, it sounds like some fucking early 80s metal shit. This fucking song fucking rules. Fuck yeah, you know, some girl breaks your heart, Paris is fucking burning tonight, baby. Fuck yeah.
All right, Johnny, you added number one, too.
Yeah, Johnny!
Oh, my God. It's amazing. I mean, The solo's amazing. I don't know, you know, the origins of the song. I've looked up a bunch of stuff, but I mean, honestly, the desperation in Don's vocal and this town I'm in can't take no more decadence and sin. It's just, there's just a desperation there. There's just something about the song that's just so powerful. Besides George's playing, like, Don's delivering the lyrics in a perfect cadence, and it's just so matter-of-fact, and not like his usual, like, you know, melancholy Don self. He's just like, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
It's just pure raw metal that at that time is just, you know, something to behold. I mean, it's just a unbelievable spectacle of a song, man. I mean, the guitar, Don's delivery. It's not a complicated song. It's simple. It's straightforward. But just the way it's delivered, guitar, vocals. I mean, it's just so powerful. It's just so powerful, and it's similar to Kiss of Death, but it's just better. Because of the rawness and the desperation and the pure energy that's in that song is just somehow, like, when they recorded that song, that it's unmatched, man. It is fucking powerful. And oh, yeah. That's why it's my number one, my favorite Dokken song. I mean, it is a fucking hell of a song, man. It's up there with anything, man.
Nice. Alright.
Love it. So Edwin has this higher than me, but because Edwin's the host and he's easily the most eloquent of the four of us idiots. I'm gonna go first. I had this at 21. And I absolutely love it. Again, putting it at 21 is not an insult. It means I love the song. Easily one of my, it's probably the second favorite song on Breaking the Chains. But love the solo leading into it. Love the kind of fake, we talked earlier about fake live songs. This is kind of the ultimate fake live song. It's almost like Train Kept Rolling on... Get Your Wings. It's kind of live. It's not really live. I don't know. But it's an unbelievable song. And again, similar to Breaking the Chains, it sounds like a Dokken song. And it hints at what is to come going forward. And that's what I love about it the most. But goddamn, I mean, that chorus, that again, hunting is kind of the thing that word that comes to mind a lot with Dokken, because all their stuff is very dark and brooding, and sometimes it annoys me, but a lot of times it's awesome. And this is a case where it is that just like, Paris is burning, such a subtle, like not banging you over the head kind of chorus, but it's like, it's almost hypnotic. It's like, I love that. And there's not a lot of shit that sounded like that at that time. And then, Lynch's solos and everything, before and after, are just unbelievable. I have this 21 you guys all had in your top two, but I'm not upset that it's number one. It's very cool. Edwin, finish us off on your number two.
Yeah, it's my second favorite Dokken song. There have been times where it's been my favorite. Like I said, my top three Dokken songs, Into the Fire, Paris is Burning, and The Hunter have all been at some point in my life my favorite Dokken song. I feel like it's locked down now for Into the Fire, but I gotta tell you, when I saw this was number one, I had a little tinge of, maybe I should have flipped that. Maybe this is the greatest Dokken song. I mean, if it's my second favorite, and it's Johnny and Eric's first favorite, and at least breaks Ryan's top 25, scientifically, that proves it's the best Dokken song. but it's amazing. I love it. It's got everything we love about Dokken. It's heavy, but I think, like Johnny was saying, it's got more soul and depth, I think, to Kiss of Death, and maybe even Tooth and Nail, because Tooth and Nail is more like a apocalyptic, let's rip and tear kind of fun song in a way, whereas this is haunting. Also, like Ryan said, it's haunting. There's a darkness to it. It's kind of almost neo-romantic quality to it. Like, this is what I said about this new age thing that you heard a little bit in Tooth and Nail and Breaking the Chains, those albums, where, yeah, they're not a new wave band, but you can kind of tell that somewhere else out there, there were some bands like that, There was, like...
There's some, like, Queensryche to this song.
Had a little bit of a weird new wavy quality, too, I think.
I agree with you 100% on that. There is a very different vibe in this song than anything else they ever did. And you think about when Eric, I don't mean to overmind you, but there was a earlier version on the Carrera, the Italian record label Carrera. There's a song just called Paris, and it is a studio version of Paris.
Oh, no way. And I was going to bring this up for Ryan already, but yeah, there is a studio version, and that's the version that's called Don Dokken, Breaking Chains. It's the early mix. Yep. It's good, but it's a great song. It's rocking, but they definitely made the right choice when they went with this different. And it's not like a different mix. It's like an entirely different. It's a different version. It's a different recording. You could hear it's a different recording of the song. It's not fully realized yet.
I like the second version much better.
Oh yeah, they definitely went the right direction with this live version. Again, I don't know how real of a live recording it is. Maybe it's just the bass drum. It definitely sounds like George and Don have some overdubs.
There's a lot of mystery around the song, though, which it actually adds to like the mystique and intrigue of this.
Yeah. So who does anyone know who wrote it?
No.
No, but really?
I think it's a Don song, but I think all the solo shit is all just George. I mean,
That's what it kind of sounds like. I mean, it has a kind of Don Dokken vibe, but of course you got all the George riffage and stuff.
Most of what came out of those first recordings were a lot of like the Don started the songs and they made the bass of the songs, and then George came in and flourished the songs.
Maybe it is a thing. Maybe like some of the riff came from some prior George band, like Eric was saying, but then Don fleshed it out and wrote a new chorus. That chorus sounds very Don Dokken-ish to me.
Yeah, interesting though too, because there's nothing on Wikipedia or anything about the song. Nothing's known about it. It's just very mysterious of a song.
Yeah, I remember on iTunes there was like an EP available, and it was some like pre-George Lynch like band they did before Dokken. It's called Exciter, but with like an X, so not to be confused with the speed metal band Exciter. It was like Exciter spelled with an X instead of like the EX, and it looked like some kind of pre-Dokken, like, you know, some pre-Dokken band that George Lynch was in, and they did a version of Paris is Burning. I swear to God, I remember seeing that on iTunes. I don't think it's there anymore, but yeah, I don't know where the hell this damn song came. It's like it's a mystery.
Yeah, look, there is some performance of a band called Exciter in Paris is Burning, but maybe that's like after the fact. I'm looking at this. Okay, we're going to get into the bottom of this. If anyone knows, talk about it in the group, the Rock and Roll Media group.
We need to know.
Regardless, however, even if they fucking stole it, look at Led Zeppelin. Sometimes you steal songs and you make masterpieces out of them. You know, good artists.
This song is a masterpiece.
Yes.
It's not complicated. It's simple, but it's powerful, and yep. It just has a mystique about it that is so desperate and restraining that it's just, wow, what a song.
Yeah, that's the thing, the desperation, like the romanticism. Who? This is where I say you have to kind of go to new wave and post-punk to have this kind of romanticism, this kind of star-crossed romanticism in a heavy metal song. You know, that's the thing that makes it very unique and different and makes Dokken different. Like, in a song this heavy, this is not the kind of lyrics that you would get in a heavy metal song at this time period by most artists. You know, Paris is Burning, you know, this poetic metaphor of a relationship going wrong, you know? It's very unique and it's very distinct. I do think there's a Morrison influence in Don Dokken. It wouldn't surprise me. He loves a lot of, like, 60s rock and British Invasion stuff, so it wouldn't surprise me if he also liked stuff like Doors as well. I mean, he covered Jefferson Airplane on one of the later Dokken albums, so...
He covered the Hollies. I think it's the Hollies. Bus Stop?
Yeah, and he also did the Yardbirds, too, on the Dokken album, too.
Yeah, he seems to really like a lot of that 60s stuff, man. Yeah, One by Three Dog Night.
That's another one. That's right. Yeah, on the Race Slate. Yeah, so it wouldn't surprise me at all.
They covered Emerson, Lake, and Palmer.
There you go.
That's a good cover. From the beginning, it's a good cover.
This is one of the rare cases where I do like a parenthesis, because it's just like this is the Berlin period, and it's like David Bowie had the Berlin period, Dokken had their German period, you know, and that's Breaking the Chains. It's this weird European metal album that somehow perfectly with this different version that they did for the Western marketplace and for America had the perfect bookends that showed you where Dokken was going. It's like, yeah, a lot of us might think the album is not that hot. I like it better than all of you guys. But I will say, obviously, not as good as the three albums later. But, hey, it had the number one Dokken song. So there, hey, give it up for Breaking the Chains. It had greatest Dokken song of all time. according to science, Ryan Russell Science and math. Also, the first time I heard this song, though, was on Breaking Chains. It was also on the Dream Warriors single. Do you remember that, Ryan?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It was Dream Warriors, and it was back.
Yeah, we talked about earlier.
Yeah, Back for the Attack, which I actually was a little surprised didn't make the list. But anyway, it was on my list. But and then Paris is Burning, and that's how I knew the song at first, because my brother, he had Breaking the Chains, but he never really played it. He sometimes would play the song and then just stop. Like, he didn't listen to the rest of the cassette, because I guess, like you guys, he didn't think it was too hot. But he did play the Dream Warriors single quite a bit. So I heard this. So I was pretty well. I knew this song pretty well, but from the Dream Warriors single. And it's awesome. I mean, it's weird. Like, Beast from the East. I don't know. It just seems weird that they wouldn't always play this live. Like, that's the one song that's not on Beast from the East, which I guess maybe because the live version was already kind of released in this form. So, but it feels like it should always be on a Dokken album, a live Dokken album. But here's another thing, too.
It should always close the show. I feel like it should always close the show.
You can't beat this. You can't beat this song as a closing number. Did you also see that live clip? It's one of my favorite live performances of Dokken from the Breaking Chains lineup in Germany, when they're playing, where like Don's got the rhythm guitar and he's like got the striped shirt. Yep. And amazing performance, very raw, very primal. George looks, he's dressed in this like new wavy way, and they do this song and it's amazing, and it's like, and Don's singing, it's so desperate and romantic, and it was, it's such an amazing performance.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Pilsen wasn't in the band yet. It's it's Juan, who's great. He's great live. He was doing a really great job in that performance.
Doing everything that Pilsen did in the band. He was the background vocalist.
Yeah,
doing cool bass. They play the same role, and they're very similar.
The roles
in each of the bands that they were in are very similar.
Yeah, I think Jeff might ultimately be a stronger songwriter. Like, he brought more as a songwriter, but in terms of live performance, they were pretty much, if anything, I might give Juan like the edge. He was really good live.
Well, he had a little bit more pizzazz,
yeah,
as far as showmanship than Pilsen did. But I mean, honestly, but Pilsen's been, I mean, he's been the band leader of Foreigner for a while, even though he's not an original member. He's really been the guy.
Yeah, but he really has.
He doesn't love Jeff Pilsen to death. I fucking love him.
He's been the really behind the scenes head of that band for a while.
That makes sense. He leads a lot of this stuff, and even all his like little side projects and stuff he's done over the years. And obviously, he was the big missing piece. Like, as soon as Pilsen came into the band after Breaking the Chains, that was it. That's when you had the classic lineup. It was like you needed him, because otherwise, Don and George, like, we might have not even had Tooth and Nail if it wasn't for Jeff Pilsen, because they already hated each other by that point. So they literally, Don was working with him, and then George would go and work with him. Like, they couldn't even be in the studio together. So you needed Jeff.
And Jeff didn't even really like Don, from what I've read.
But
he worked with him because he's a professional.
But he's a professional. It's just professional. Well, and Don had like, a song. He had an album, you know, that was set up with, you know, and he had a foot into the entertainment industry at a higher level than George or Jeff had on their own. So obviously they were going to coast a bit on that and then try to take over the band. But there was a power struggle, obviously, and there was always a power struggle with Dokken during their best years. And I guess even after their best years, there was still a power struggle.
But you know what? It's nice to see that after all this, that George and his band can open and they can play some songs together. And what they're doing right now, even though I get it, Don is a shell of himself. But it's nice to see that there's actually some, you know, genuine, like, forgiveness, and they play together and work out whatever they're working out. It's not George playing the whole set, but you know Don's throwing George some bones with his band opening, and then they do some songs together, and it works out good for everybody, you know.
Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice, like if KK's Priest, you know, opened for Judas Priest, like that'd be a nice thing.
That's
to see.
Never gonna happen.
Never gonna happen. But it'd be nice. I'm just saying, because then we get more Judas Priest songs too, like because they could play some Judas Priest songs, and then Judas Priest can play. And maybe they work out the set list so they're not doing the same songs. It could be great.
It's good to see Don and George have mended the fence to a degree.
But, you know, God, just to wrap it back up, bring it back to Paris is Burning, there's this thing is, like, that's a moment. That's a moment captured, whether it's live or in the studio or a little bit both. Don and George, these two orphans of rock music coming together, rivals, enemies, collaborators, artists, and creating a magical metal song, and that would lead them to, you know, a great run of albums that to me were on another level, and easily one of the best metal bands of the 80s. And they should have been much, much bigger than they were. But in a way, and I said this in my Dokken video, maybe that's part of the mystique of Dokken, is that they are like a star-crossed band, and that there is this desperation to Dokken. Maybe Dokken is meant to be the band that didn't hit it big.
Well, no, that was Bang Tango.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that band sucks.
They're awesome. Bang Tango. They're awesome. But watch the Bang Tango documentary. They were the band.
Oh, God, they made a documentary? Someone actually spent money to make a documentary about them?
Dude, Johnny, look it up.
Me and Johnny are part of the Bang Tango army.
Oh, yes, my God. Is this a real thing?
Well, I know
you're a real thing.
Eric, look it up on YouTube.
This isn't like a
movie.
This isn't like a meme. This is a real thing.
No, yeah. It's a great movie. Whether you like Bang Tango or don't like Bang Tango, it's a great look in the 80s metal scene. It's called the Bang Tango movie. It's on YouTube. It's great. But what I was going to say is,
you can do it, Johnny.
I'm trying to get it out. What I was going to say is, the whole thing with Dokken is those guys are still decently friends. And, you know, you never know what might... I know that George didn't play on this new album. I haven't heard it.
It's really good. I think it's easily their best since Erase the Slate, in my opinion.
I have not heard it. I have not heard it, but I think it's great that everyone's still making new music, and those guys are still friends. So, I mean, I think, you know, great for them, you know. Good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right. So, let's all do we want to do one final summation? Or let's just, you know what? We got bonus tracks.
Bonus tracks, baby.
Yeah.
We each got to pick two.
We can do this. Hey, it's late, people. It's late, and we've been drinking. All right.
I'm still here. I'm not in shadows yet. I'm still
Johnny,
here.
You know what? Just to be on the safe side, though, Johnny, you start off with the bonus track.
Oh, shit, yeah.
No, I'm good, but I will start off. My two tracks, my first bonus track was I wanted to pick one from, like, a George and a Don, like, solo project. So my first one I picked was, you guys probably have seen this, came out a couple years ago, Dirty Shirley.
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard it.
George and
Dino
the singer
Jelusic.
Of the band, Dino Jelusic.
I saw him live with TSO.
Cool song.
Great, great fucking singer. Here Comes the King is the name of the song. And that's what reminded me of, God, I forget that, I think it was one of the songs off of Tooth and Nail, the acoustic part that's played, that Edwin, you said Pilsen played, George.
That's what I read. I think Don said that in an interview. I forget where, but I read it somewhere because it stuck in my mind that the acoustic part specifically of that song was Jeff Pilsen.
Yeah, well, the part George plays in this song, Here Comes the King, is so fucking similar.
Well, I mean, obviously George is good enough that he could replicate that style. And, like, obviously live he would play, even if it's not acoustic, but he would play the part on electric, so.
But But that was my George song, and my favorite song from the Up From the Ashes album, which I think, like, that album, to me, is better than anything either of them have done since. Don, Up From the Ashes, I mean, that was a great record with John Norum, and The Hunger is my favorite song from that record. So those are my two picks.
Yeah, I just went for the. I contemplated maybe us, like, I thought since we were counting later Dokken songs without George Lynch, that none of, you know, it didn't matter anyway. It was kind of a mute argument because none of the songs made our top 20. But Eric and I did include a couple of those songs. And part of me was thinking, well, it's kind of unfair to not count Up in the Ashes since that was supposed to be a Dokken album, legally speaking, Don wasn't allowed to do that. But then a few years later, he's allowed to do it. So
it's funny because it's not The Hunter, it's The Hunger.
Yeah, but the whole thing. I mean, I think we all agree. Like, that album actually sounds more like Dokken than anything Don or George released.
It really does.
And then when they had the reunion, I love. Dysfunctional. It's a great album, but it's a different sounding album. It's kind of like a psychedelic grunge Dokken. You know, it's like more like Dokken meets the Beatles. It's a really great album, but that does not sound as much like classic Dokken as Up From the Ashes does. You know, so it's odd. And like, yeah, I know Mirror sometimes does get included actually on a few Dokken compilations. So, you know, but anyway, probably, I don't know if any of the songs would have made our top 20 anyway, but it might be a mute argument, but it was worth discussing, so I'm glad you brought it up. It is a great album, and obviously, I think it's better than Breaking the Chains. I would say, yeah, it's probably the best Dokken-related release after the Tooth and Nail, Under Lock and Key, and Back for the Attack. Yeah,
in my opinion as well, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah, so good choices, John. And Ryan, why don't you go next?
All right, I'll go next. I had Sleepless Nights from Back for the Attack. I just, man, like, I think George, that couple of you said it.
Yeah, it was in my top 20. I love that song.
You had it almost as high as I did. Let me take a look at what number we had here.
I think it was my 20.
It actually ended up 22 in the list, so it was
okay.
You know, while I'm at it, I'm just going to give 21 through 30. Is that cool?
Yeah, go. What if you go? Your 21 to 30?
No. This is our combined 21 to 30. This is like,
yeah. Let's hear it.
Our combined 21 to 30. Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
All right, so Bullets to Spare was 21.
Right. Yeah.
Sleepless Nights, which is one of my bonus, what I'll talk about in a second, is 22. Night by Night, again, another Back for the Attack track. Jaded Heart is next.
Great song. Great song.
Will the Sun Rise?
Great song. Also a great song.
Lost Behind the Wall.
I love that fucking song.
Mr. Scary.
Oh my God. How did we not talk about that?
That one was not on my list. I've never been a fan of that song.
No, I love it. I just don't. Instrumentals usually don't do as well for me.
I mean, I like the
old. In my opinion, other than Switch 625, when you throw out the Van Halen stuff, throw out Eddie's stuff, Switch 625 and Mr. Scary are the two best instrumentals, in my opinion. That's it. I love them.
It's out there. I'd say Orion's my favorite. Metallica's
Orion. Metallica's got some great stuff.
I love a lot of instrumental songs. I never liked Mr. Scary. I like the opening riff, but then the rest of the song just does nothing for me.
Oh, I see. I think it's great. It's masterful. If I had a top 30, it probably would have got in there. Just missed it. But okay, so what's next, Ryan?
Mr. Scary, and then Turn on the Action. Heaven Sent closes out the.
How the fuck did that song not make it?
Oh, no, that's, I'm sorry. Great song. Heartless Heart closes out the 30.
There you go. Heaven Sent didn't even make it.
But I love, I mean, it shows you the depth of their catalog. I mean, the fact that songs like Heaven Sent and Turn on the Action and Mr. Scary are on the outside of the top 30. Like,
yep.
That's a band that has a good catalog, man.
Yeah. That's why they were on another level. This is the thing about, I understand why you're saying Sleepless Nights, because I used to make that mistake myself, because it's actually a mistake on the album track listing. But it has been corrected in later versions. Early versions called it Sleepless Nights, but it's since been corrected. It's actually Sleepless Night, which makes sense when you actually listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, it's OE. They say Sleepless Nights.
Yeah, it's just one, it's just singular, but there are versions, early versions, Back for the Attack, where it lists it as Sleepless Nights. So that always confused me, but I believe it is officially Sleepless Night singular.
But I love this song.
I mean, it's an awesome song. I love it.
This is one of George Lynch's crowning achievements. His solo on this is ridiculous. The riff is great. It's so melodic and heavy at the same time. Like, this is a total George Lynch, like, I know he wrote like 80% of the song, and it's a George Lynch song. And again, Don compliments it perfectly. That's why they were so good together. But this is a George Lynch song, and I fucking love it. And then my second bonus song, like, I don't feel like going into knowing they were doing this Japanese two show thing for reunion, whatever it was, six years ago now.
Yeah.
I heard they were going to have a new song, and I had no expectation whatsoever. Because, I mean, like, I have to explain to you guys, like, I've seen Don live, like, 6 or 7 times in the last 15 years. Because I go to this metal festival called the M3 Festival. It's, like, an hour and 20 minutes from me in Maryland. I live right outside of Philly. And Don has played that a ton of times with his version of Dokken Now. And, I mean, it literally, dude, anybody that's seen him live now, it literally is like, it's like having William Shatner on the stage doing spoken word.
It is like spoken word, yeah, it is.
It's ridiculous. I mean, he does not even try to hit a note. Like, it is literally a spoken word concert, and it's kind of, like, sad, and I can't even, like, really, I literally am, like, sitting in a beer shack drinking a beer while they're playing. I can't watch it. It breaks my heart. Because I'm such a huge Dokken fan. I just can't listen to it. I respect people that still want to go see it. I don't trash those people. God bless you if you want to hear it. I can't watch it. It seriously breaks my heart. But It's Another Day, the song they put on that album. I think it's a great fucking Dokken song. It's not just like a serviceable bonus track on their like reunion album. It's like it's almost like a different kind of truth good Van Halen. I fucking love that song, and I'm shocked that there wasn't more like kind of reaction from the Dokken diehard core when that song came out. Like, this is a great fucking Dokken song, and it combines all the best elements of Dokken. The like going from the picking melodic Lynch right into like power chords, and it's heavy at one time, but it's super melodic at other times. I love that song, and I was actually disappointed that it didn't get more buzz from like the old school Dokken heads, because like to me that was as good a song, like bonus song, as they could have possibly put on that, you know, whatever it was, Return to the East album.
Yeah, I think it's a great song, too. I think part of the problem was it was a song on a live album. You know, I feel like if it was a full-fledged reunion album, a studio album, it like probably would have... and it was like the lead-all single for that. I think it would have stirred more attention and people would have got more into it. And the live album itself didn't, like the live tracks didn't sound that great, you know.
That was whatever. But I
really, so I think that hurt. I think that hurt.
And I listen to it all the time. I really like that song.
I made an EP, a little like digital EP in my library with that track and a couple others. And there was two acoustic versions of Heaven Sent and Will the Sun Rise, which were also pretty good. I like those versions. They were like studio acoustic versions. No,
yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I made a little EP of all that stuff, and it's a damn good EP. I like it.
Well, yeah,
is a good point there.
Yeah, but so I'm gonna go into my bonus tracks, since I was just actually mentioning one of the songs. I'm actually picking two songs from an album we talked a lot about, Under Lock and Key. But I love these two songs so much. One was in my top five, and I was a little surprised that they didn't make our top 20, Will the Sun Rise is one of my all-time favorite Dokken songs. I love it. I wouldn't say a single, but because there are so many songs, so many catchy songs on that album, but it should have been at least prominently. Now, this I would have saved for a movie, like the end of a movie credits, like Dream Warriors. To me, it would be perfect at the end of a 80s horror action film. But a wonderful song, wistful, melancholic, haunting, a perfect Dokken song, kind of song that only Dokken would do. To me, it's a top-tier Dokken song. And also, from that album, Jaded Heart.
Great song. I love Jaded Heart.
Now, if
both are great songs. I mean, that album, the really, Under Lock and Key is a perfect album.
I mean, how many hair metal bands, they had a song half as good as Jaded Heart? Of course, it'd be a single. But, like, on Under Lock and Key, it's just like an album track. It's an amazing song, and it's dark and moody. If you can, I would consider Jaded Heart a ballad, but it's, I would say it's my favorite Dokken ballad. I like it even more than Alone Again. But it has a similar quality, Alone Again. It's very restless and dark and melancholic, and I just love the melody. Both these songs they would sometimes play at the Rainbow Bar and Grill, and I always just loved hearing whenever they would play them, like over the piped in music in the Rainbow Bar and Grill. It was just always great. You'd be sitting there in the Rainbow eating your spaghetti, I'd be knocking back some Cabernets, and fucking deep track, deep Dokken songs come on. You know, it doesn't get better than that. So great memories, but yeah.
Great songs. Those are both great songs.
Yeah, and that's when I realized I always used to tell people Back for the Attack was my second favorite Dokken album, and I said that in my Dokken video. But when I made this list, I was like, no, who am I fucking kidding? And obviously, it's Under Lock and Key. Under Lock and Key was the second most represented on my list, and that's actually the album I've been listening to the most this week. I Tooth and Nail is definitely my favorite Dokken album, but this is right on its ass. It's a little glossier. The production's not quite as punchy as Tooth and Nail. But, man, it's just the songs are masterful. You know, it's every song's great. And it's, it's amazing. It's a band at their peak. And
That was their bed to be a big band.
Yeah, that should have been their Pyromania, in my opinion. It was amazing. I also think the album cover could have been better. The album cover that they have looks like that should be the back cover of the band, and there should be something more conceptual and provocative as the front cover. Like it should be like a sexy lady from the kind of waist down, like with a chastity belt with the Dokken logo.
Oh, fuck that!
Yeah, and you see a key heading in its direction.
That's like, pretty awesome right there, yeah.
Yeah, like, it needed something like that. Like a naughty cover that would get people's attention. And then you flip it around, and you see the fruity-looking band on the back. You know, then but, yeah, they definitely needed more hot women in their marketing somehow.
Not enough chicks.
Not enough. Come on, it's the mid-80s. Come on, guys.
Need chicks, man.
Yeah, and the album's called Under Lock and Key. And it's the mid-80s, and you're not having some kind of sexy underlocked pun thing happening on your album cover. That's another ball that Elektra dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah, they dropped a lot of balls with Dokken, with Underlock and TMI. But, yeah, so doing this video, doing this list, made me realize how much I love Underlock and Key. And
usually... Who
the fuck's eating? Who the fuck is eating?
Johnny's all right. Johnny's eating some potato chips or something.
I guess I'll do my two bonus tracks because I'm also getting hungry as well. But yeah, all right. So my two bonus tracks, man. There was a couple. I was told I had to narrow it down to fucking two.
Yeah. Because you were giving us a fucking bonus album.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with, first off, I'm going with Bullets to Spare. Great fucking deep cut off Tooth and Nail. I fucking love that song. It's fucking catchy. The melodies in there are fucking amazing, and especially in the chorus. She wanted this, I gave her that. I love that. It's fucking killer. It's catchy. Def Leppard put that on fucking Pyromania, you'd still hear on the radio, because fucking Dokken, they don't give a fuck. And then the next song I'm going with is from the amazing, amazing Erase the Slate album. I love this song, but I also got to add too, because I love my fiance Mary. She's amazing. I love her, and it's just cool to hear her name in a song, man. I'm going with the song sung by none other than Mr. Wild Mick Brown, the song Crazy Mary Goes Round. That song fucking kicks so much ass, and man, just, you know, fucking Mick Brown, man, he can sing too, man. Fucking great singer.
It reminds me of like a Peter Criss like rock and roll song.
It kind of does, man. You know, before Peter Criss tried, you know, recreating Beth like so many fucking times, like Criss do some rock and roll songs. But I had to have that song, man. So I love my fiance Mary, man. So it's cool hearing her name in a song. Yeah, a kick ass song too as well. So shout out to her.
And definitely, listen, people listening to this, if you're like, just think Dokken's is about the 80s, and yeah, their best stuff's in the 80s, but if you want to listen to an awesome post-80s Dokken album, go to Erase the Slate. To me,
that's fucking album.
Yeah, that's easily their best after that.
George.
Especially after, you know, Up from the Ashes. And George isn't in it, but Jeff Pilson's in the band, and Mick Brown, so it's very close to being the classic lineup.
They got Rudd Beach on guitar, man. He's a great guitarist.
Amazing guitarist, and he's obviously the second best guitarist Dokken ever had.
Yeah.
And he did a great job. So, yeah, definitely check out, I don't know if you listen to it much, Ryan and Johnny, but I definitely, as you can hear from me and Eric, you should definitely check out Race to Slate. And Dodd was still singing great at that point, too.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great
fucking album. I love it. I will also say, if you want to check out something great, if you guys remember, there's a Rock and Metal Combat podcast episode with the Garden Weasel that talked about the first Lynch Mob record, which is really fucking funny. Absolutely hilarious.
Oh, yeah, it's a great, great fucking
remember that
episode.
One?
Yep, I remember that one, man.
Michael W. Howard. He did the worst Motley Crue songs of those guys.
And then
Lynch Mob episode, and it is really funny.
I remember that one. That's a really good one. Yep.
Hell yeah.
Michael Howard gave me a shout when I did my Dokken video. It was like, it's the only time he's ever like commented on one of my videos. And
He's kind of disappeared.
He has. I mean, he was just like, this best video you ever did. It's like, yeah, because you love Dokken. Makes sense.
But man, this has been epic, like many hours of us Dokken around the Christmas tree. This is going to be the holiday special, man, because it's so epic and so awesome, and fucking I love Dokken. Fuck yeah.
Hey, I got to say, like, I am like, the last guy on the planet to start, like, early celebrating Christmas, but if we're rocking around the Dokken tree, man, I'm all in, man.
I'm marrying a Filipino woman, and they start celebrating Christmas as early as October, so I have that excuse
going for it. I am honored. Honored to be part of a Christmas episode.
Yeah, my Christmas tree is up right now. It's been up since fucking like Halloween. So I don't fucking
God bless you.
God bless us, everyone.
It's too early.
Except for Elektra Records. Fuck them.
Fuck Elektra Records. You don't deserve the cocaine.
Yeah, I hope you get
fucking.
I hope you get coal in your stocking, you fuckers.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, Ryan, thank you so much for the mathematics and making this list. Johnny, thank you for coming up with this idea.
Well, I'll tell you what. Thanks, guys, but you know what?
What?
We got Rat, we got Skid Row, we could do some more lists.
We'll definitely going to do this again. It's a lot of fun. All right, thank you, guys. All right, guys. Now it's time to crash.
Hell yeah.
Hey.
Later.
Peace.
Later, guys.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for making the list, man.
Peace out, brother.
Peace.
Rock on.